there.
Good, good. How's the weather in Mpumalanga?
Yesterday we had some thunderbolts, but today quiet. You can't understand this weather. Really.
Yeah.
Global change, climate changing, it's really a problem in our life.
Yeah, no, we must do more for the green, for the environment.
So much.
Morning, Honorable Kruger. How are you keeping?
Always great, thank you.
Good, good, good. You also in the north, in Mpumalanga?
No, I'm in Cape Town. In my snoozy little home in Acacia Park.
No, that's good, that's good.
All by myself.
I'm told, there's some rodent problems in Acacia Park. In one of our groups, our members are complaining that the rodents are coming out.
Yeah, and the problem with the rodents, the snakes are after them now, you know. So some of our members found snakes on their porches, you know. So life is very dangerously in the case of Parker. You must be strong to stay here.
and people say that you guys got an easy day.
Yeah. We earn so many money and easy life and what. No.
It's not easy to be away from your family and to be on your own all during the week. And the
problem is you must maintain two households. I mean, you have a household here and you have a household there. So it's actually a very expensive exercise.
Yeah. No, that's what we do. We sacrifice for the people.
Yeah, of course. And that's what keeps us young. Flying up and down.
So you must look after your health. They say the health is the new wealth. If you have health, if you have healthy, then you have nothing to complain about.
Good morning, honorable members and our officials. You are warmly welcome to today's meeting.
Recording in progress.
Which is the meeting of the portfolio committee where we're going to consider a report of our visit to the Northwest. Because it's our responsibility to do oversight. After doing the oversight, is that also our responsibility to reflect on the observation, and we, at the end of the day, we come up with our own recommendation, but you must also get the report from the department where we are going to interrogate into that particular report. So for now, is our engagement as the portfolio committee will assist each other about what we have observed, the achievements as well as the challenges. Because what is important, we are moving towards the end of the sixth parliament. So we need to have a legacy report municipality, we have been disrupted by this COVID-19. We could not do our oversight as expected from us by the rules of the house. But at least we have done something. So today we'll allow our officials to brief us on the report here VCDA to the Northwest. Again, also to update us about the trip which we will embark, I think, around June, if things go our way, to Germany. I'm a little bit disturbed. I can't see other... And also the issue of the budget vote, because this is the period where we're going to table, we're going to request money from the treasurer to assist our department to move forward. So I think these are the issues before us. And the last one, can you flag it up a little bit, Kim? Yeah, these are the two issues, honorable members and our officials. So without any waste of time, I will request King procedural to reflect whether we do have apologies from the PCs, and then we'll adopt the agenda as it is, because it has got only those two items. Do we have any apologies, King, before us?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. On the side of the apologies, Chair, I received an apology from Honorable Sunmola, who indicated that during when we started the meeting, he would be traveling. And I've also received now the note from Honorable Lubemo, indicating that she's still trying to log in. She's got a problem with the network. So those are the apologies that we have received. And then on the side of the department chair, I indicate that when the portfolio committee is considering tabling and considering its reports, there is no need for the department to be in the meeting, because those reports ultimately they end up to the department and entities. So as we're considering the budget work report and the oversight report, then those reports they will end up being with the department. So there is no need for them to be in the meeting, because these are the reports of the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. On that note, can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda, honorable members?
Ma'am Chair, just before we adopt the agenda, maybe if we can just have a brief by the our officials about the study tour, because we need to start planning for it, because there's a lot of things to do during our constituency time. So maybe if we can add that just to get a feedback on how far are we with this study tour and what is needed from us and what have you. Thank you, Chair.
Brilliant, my veteran. He let it be a standing item, even if to tell us that the passport, official passport, has been now done by honorable members is an update. Brilliant. That is a wise move. So we may add it, or we may start with it before we table the report. Let's put it on the agenda. And by so saying, can you also move for the adoption of the agenda with that addition, honorable Kruger? so that someone can also second this proposal.
I move, Chair, that we adopt the agenda with the amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any seconder, Honourable Member?
Second, I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I don't know, King, who's going to, all right. Or is it this move, who'll do the presentation? Over to you, Baba Smoo, Brother Smoo.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Raking, if you can give me the sharing rights. Chairperson, morning. Morning, honorable members. Morning, colleagues. Raking?
Yes, Chair. Yes.
Chairperson, just to save my bandwidth, I will stop the video, but I will be able to share.
No problem, Spoo. We know this voice even during the night. There is no need for your face.
That's fine. Chairperson, this is the report that, as the Secretariat, we have drafted for consideration and adoption by the committee. It's a budget vote report of the Portfolio Committee on Budget Vote 36. It's a 32-page report, Chairperson. Not much has changed from the previous one. What I will do, like we usually do in the past, I will quickly go through page by page, then I will go through observation by observation towards the latter part of the document. Chairperson, on page 123, it's introduction of the document, the background, the role of the Constitution around this particular issue, and the role of the money bills, amendment procedures, and related matters. Then on page 2, it's the purpose of the budget report. It's also on 1.3, objectives of the budget vote report. Then on 1.4, it's the process that the committee followed right from the time when the minister tabled the annual performance plan to Parliament on the 14th of April, including the presentations that were done on 2 days between 25 April. Then, Chairperson, on page 4, it's the overview of the Department of Small Business Development. Not much has changed there, Chairperson, from the previous annual performance plan. It's the aims and purpose of the department, mandate of the department, the vision, mission, values, and programs of the department. They have not changed, Chairperson. It's still Program 1, Administration, Program 2, Sector and Market Development, Program 3, Development Finance, and Program 4, Enterprise Development. Except that maybe for this financial year, Chairperson, the department has introduced what it calls game changers. But again, Chairperson, as the process of amalgamating CBDA and CIFA into CEDA, we are likely to see more changes on the annual performance plans of the department and entities. Then on 3, page 6, it's policy and legislative priorities. Again, Chairperson, it's still the National Development Plan. That is still our guiding blueprint. The medium-term strategic framework is coming to an end early next year or just after the elections. The department is still implementing some of the recommendations or undertakings in the MTSF. The State of the Nation address for this financial year, Chairperson, emphasized the crisis that the country is facing around the energy crisis and the link that the government is trying to do between small enterprises trying to play a role in terms of supplying electricity to the grid. Also, Honorable Chairperson, as you are aware, our visit to Germany, we are also planning to visit some of in South Africa. Chairperson, the Economic Reconstruction and Recovery Plan, the department is still implementing some of the resolutions that we are undertaking to address the crisis of the, or the after effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Then the last one, the planned legislative and policy initiatives. Chairperson, we are making an observation and recommendation below around the two legislations, which is the National Small Enterprise Act and the Business Amendment Bill towards the end of the report. Then on four is the overview of the budget allocations of the department. It's on page 9 to page 14, Chairperson. In particular, the allocation to each unit of the department. For instance, the total budget for this year, Chairperson, we see that in table 2, there is a slight increase from 2.5 to 2.6 billion, and then that is likely to increase to 2.8 billion in 2024-2025. We are also making a recommendation towards the end of the report around this particular one, Chairperson. In terms of the programs, there are sub-programs on administration, or which is program 1, ministry, departmental management, corporate services and financial management. The MTF allocation there, Chairperson, is 442 million, but the projected annual expenditure for this current financial year is 138 million. Program 2, Chair, the MTF allocation is 525 million. The current allocation for this financial year is 163 million. On program 3, that has not changed again from the previous annual performance plan. It still consists of the development finance management, business viability, blended finance, model funding collaboration. The allocation there is 1.3 billion for this current financial year, projected to increase during the MTS period to 4.2 billion. Then on the last one, Chair, Program 4, which is enterprise development, that is also has not changed from the previous annual performance plan. The allocation there is 922 million. Then, Chairperson, we look at the from page 15. It's just the overview of the entities, Chairperson, which is CIFA and CEDA. I will jump those maybe to CEDA, where there are slight changes in terms of the program that the agency is currently implementing. You will recall, Chairperson, that during the previous year, or during the previous annual performance plan, CEDA was implementing 3 programs, but now they've added 1 program. I think it's program 3. Which they called its impact and sustainability program. So that's the program that has been added during the current financial year. So instead of implementing 4 programs, CEDA is now implementing, instead of implementing 3 programs like the previous financial year, they are now implementing 4 programs. Then, Chairperson, in terms of the observations, like I indicated earlier on, I will go through one observation by observation. As the 6th administration and parliament drawing ever to a close, and the MTSF 2019 to 2024 approaches full circle, it is imperative to reflect on the department and agency's accomplishments and inadequacies during this term in order to locate the crucial interventions required to guarantee continuity, that is after the elections next year, and sustainability of the sector beyond this period, which is the 6th administration or 6th parliament. Having reflected on the APP and budgets for 2023-2024 of the department and entities, the portfolio committee hereby registers the following observations and recommendations for consideration by the department. Observation number 1, the committee observes a minor increase in the entire DSBT budget from 2.5 billion to 2.6 billion, with spending expected to rise from 2.8
the majority of which will be transferred to the Small Enterprise Development Agency for enterprise development and incubation support. However, the Chairperson and honorable members, given the department's mandate to support hundreds of thousands of small businesses, it is one of the frontline, it's one of the important frontline departments mentioned by the Minister of Finance in his February budget speech that requires an increase beyond existing baselines. In other words, the allocation is okay, but not adequate. 6.2, the committee welcomes successful consultation between the Ministers of Small Business Development and Public Administration, which resulted in the department's strata being approved by the executive authority in September 2022. The committee is confident that this development will bring much needed stability following years of operating under a startup structure, which was essentially a root cause of high vacancy rate, particularly at senior managerial level. 6.3, a supportive and well-oiled financial infrastructure is essential in the medium to long term to encourage sustainable, viable, and significant improvements in access to SMMEs and cooperatives finance. In that context, honorable members, the committee welcomes the gazetting of the SMMEs and cooperatives funding policy for public comments. Honorable members, you will recall that I actually circulated this document to a WhatsApp group of the portfolio committee. The expectation is the members will interrogate the document and make necessary submissions to the department. 6.4, the committee welcomes the department's recognition that there is a credit gap for SMMEs and cooperatives in South Africa that exceeds 350 billion rand. Well, Chair, this is the conservative estimate. The literature is pointing towards 500 billion. With startups and small enterprises receiving the least amount of credit or grants. The committee applauds a suggested cocktail of interventions that would improve credit information systems, de-risk lending to marginalized enterprises by rethinking collateral types, providing credit guarantees for SMMEs and other means, offering pre-investment support to make financial submissions more bankable and post-investment support through continuous business development support to ensure business sustainability are complementary approaches to reduce lending risk and boost take-up. 6.5, the committee supports the department's efforts to engage the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition on its BBBE policy and codes of good practice. This is in part to raise awareness of the localization policy in order to enhance the supplier development program during the current financial year. The engagement objectives would help improve localization policy so that the department can oversee the enterprise and supplier development component and monitor the private sector's adherence to its promise. This will ensure that big businesses promote the expansion of SMMEs by cooperating SMMEs and cooperatives into their supply and value chains and putting a special emphasis on township and rural businesses. 6.6, at the start of its term in 2019, this is what I presented, Chairperson, when we discussed access to market. The committee had noted and advised that special attention should be paid to ESD and other BBBE codes of good practice, which are now used as a checkbox exercise and bring little value to the ecosystem of small businesses. In order to harness the good intentions of ESD and ensure that it is carried out, the Department of Small Business Development must strengthen its internal capacity to drive this program. The committee is taking note of the department's continued failure to refer bills to Parliament, despite many assurances in the past to do so. Since 2017, completing and referring the National Small Enterprise Act to Parliament has been a commitment expressed in all of the department's annual performance plans. But this goal I'm sure this person will come back. I've just despite many assurances to do so in the past. Since 2017, completion and referring of the National Small Enterprise Act to Parliament has been a commitment expressed in all the department's APPs. But this has not happened. During the consideration of the department's annual report, that is in 2020, the committee had, in light of a variety of challenges hampering the sector and hundreds of complaints from small business owners before it, recommended a segmented approach to the finalization of the Act, as done by the Department of Trade and Industry in 2003 and 2004. The committee also take note of the department's unsuccessful attempt to carry out what it describes as a revised business case regarding the establishment of the Office of the Small Enterprise Ombud that was shared with the committee at the beginning of the financial year 2022-2023. As an alternative to the Small Enterprise Ombud's office, the department had promised to establish the office as a jurisdiction within the department and in the medium term as a public entity in accordance to Schedule 3A. In this meeting, Chairperson, you will recall that the committee had given the department's effort its full backing. But Chair, clearly here, the department was only managing the committee because ever since that introduction or presentation, nothing has been presented to the committee up to so far. The committee further observed that the department intends to introduce the Business Amendment Bill to Parliament by the end of 2023-2024 financial year, as stated in the most recent APP. This is the current APP under the discussion. This is despite undertaking by the department during the last year's annual performance plan to introduce the bill during quarter one of the current financial year. Quarter one, Chairperson, begins from April 1, May to June 30. In addition, a firm commitment to submit the Business Amendment Bill to Parliament during the first quarter of the current financial year was further discussed in a meeting between the committee secretariat, that is us, King and Nwabisa, and the department representatives, which was represented by Mr. Jeffrey Ndumo. This committee was backed up by a thorough project plan, and that was shared with the committee members. You will recall, honorable members, that after this meeting, we specifically requested that we need a sort of a gun chart or a project plan indicating that indeed the department will refer this bill to Parliament before June 30 of this financial year. The assurance was in response to the committee's resolution to pass through a committee bill to modernize the Business Act. No explanation is provided as to why the dates have been changed at this time. The committee is worried that the simmering conflict between local and foreign-owned businesses calls for a clear-cut policy. In this regard, there have been two other committees in Parliament, both of which have identified a lax regulatory environment. The committee observes that there is no legislation or policy to safeguard or reinforce actions meant to provide effective protection to township and rural enterprises, while comparable regulatory instruments exist in other countries. The department committed to starting the process of establishing the Small Business Advisory Body in its annual performance plan for 2022-2023. That is the last year annual performance plan, Chairperson and Arab members. The committee has consistently made this recommendation since the fifth administration, because it firmly believes that the department needs an experienced, independent, and external opinion on issues relating to small business development. Therefore, it supported this effort. Regrettably, there has not been any action taken to fulfill this obligation. Instead, same commitment is contained in the current APP without any explicit time frames for when the advisory body appointment process will be started. that whenever the department and agencies give performance highlights pertaining to cooperatives and informal traders, they commonly group or aggregate beneficiaries under the heading of SMMEs and cooperatives. Chair, this issue, the committee raised this issue sharply last year when it discovered that, for instance, CIFA has a tendency to group beneficiaries together. But when you drill it down to say, CIFA, give us a list of the cooperatives you supported during a particular previous year, we discovered that not even a single cooperative was funded by the agency. We went to Northwest recently. We're not sure whether there's any cooperative funded by the department in CIFA in Northwest. Such reporting practice conceals the unequal distribution of resources among SMMEs, cooperatives, and informal traders. Also, provincial aggregation rather than region or district municipality does not offer a clear picture of how resources are divided fairly throughout the regions. Chair, in terms of the beneficiaries, the KZN is always flagged as number two, but when you drill deeper to see where are these beneficiaries located, you'll find that most of them are located in Ethekwini municipalities, with the rest of the province not benefiting at all from what CIFA or the department is offering. So this is one issue, Chairperson. We'll make a recommendation towards the end of the report to say beneficiaries must be aggregated. We need to see how many SMMEs, how many cooperatives, how many informal traders benefited from CIFA in a particular district municipality. 6.13, the committee is concerned about the department's and entities' budget cuts, with CEDA's budget in particular likely to decrease by 95 million rand during the year under review. CEDA spending is anticipated to decline at an average annual rate of 2.2% from 1 billion during the previous financial year to 944 million in 2025. This is according to estimates from National Treasury. This decline is primarily attributable to the high baseline in 2022-2023 due to the receipt of relief funding for the floods in KwaZulu-Natal. Unlike CIFA, CEDA derives its revenue exclusively from the government. Its mandate does not allow it to embark on profit-generating activities. Whilst it is understood that these reductions are provisional measures owing to hangover effects of the pandemic and current energy crisis, they are, however, being carried out in spite of the onerous responsibility entrusted to the department to turn around the curve of unemployment and ignite economic activity. 6.14, during the consideration of CIFA annual report, the committee noted CEDA's outcome of an unqualified audit finding, with findings on the reporting on predetermined objectives. According to the Auditor General, the audit outcomes had regressed to an adverse opinion, with findings due to the extent to which the majority of performance indicators were not measurable or reliable. The committee is aware that due to the ongoing uncertainty surrounding the merger of CBDA and CIFA into CEDA, it is likely that this is the cause of staff unhappiness. Maybe it's also the cause of ineptitude and high employee turnover. 6.15, the committee is concerned that while cooperation between CEDA and CIFA appears to exist on paper, the contrary is actually true in practice. The committee is aware that CIFA continues to reject applications for funding and business plans developed by CEDA without providing any remedy or corrective action. Additionally, some programs, such as the informal trader support programs, are implemented at the national level, with insufficient information being cascaded down to the provinces to conduct monitoring and evaluation of those projects, as the committee learned recently during its oversight visit to Northwest. Then the last observation, Chair, the committee takes note of the fact that CIFA's operating model, as stated in CIFA's corporate governance plan, SMEs and cooperatives, both directly through its regional office network and indirectly through collaboration with intermediate financial institutions like retail financial intermediaries, microfinance, joint ventures, subsidiaries, and CFIs, even though no CFI has been funded up so far. Once again, as the committee learned during its oversight visit to Northwest, there is little being done to monitor the transformation agenda of MFIs and RFIs. The rate of interest they charge to small businesses to determine if it is compliant with the National Credit Act, the type of projects that intermediaries finance, how much support cooperatives and informal traders receive, and whether such projects adhere to CIFA and DSBD's mandate of financial inclusion. We are also making a recommendation, Chairperson, towards the end of this report around this particular issue. The following recommendations are to be taken into consideration by the Minister of Small Business Development, who is asked to report back to the committee no later than, Chairperson, here I made a mistake. I was supposed to say September, not that no later than the end of the financial year, which is 31 March next year. I will rectify that to say before the end of quarter two. The first recommendation, Chairperson, South African economy needs a serious growth injection. Small businesses have been identified as a crucial sector that needs real assistance from the government and major corporations. Cuts to the budget are not an option. The department needs an open dialogue with the Ministry of Finance ahead of the budget review in October that will be presented alongside the medium-term budget policy statement in order to petition National Treasury for additional funding to address the numerous challenges brought on by the pandemic and the ongoing energy crisis. The national fiscus is shrinking as a result of a smaller tax base and numerous businesses ceasing operations. DSBD and government still have a number of weapons at their disposal, including interventions like the loan guarantee program. According to estimates, Chair, the loan guarantee provision in nations like Germany amounts to almost 30% of the GDP of the nation. We are going there to learn how the Germans are doing this. The Department, National Treasury, and South African Reserve Bank must collectively formulate methods to entice commercial banks to participate in the loan guarantee program. Chair, you will note in the APP of the department that the department is making reference to South African Reserve Bank having advised commercial banks to be careful around this particular government program. I'm not even sure what that means, to advise the banks against participating in the program that is meant to grow the SME sector. 7.3, the department is urged to expand its strategic alliances with the corporate sector and vigorously pursue outside funding alternatives, particularly for startups, by, whenever possible, providing an enabling environment. In other words, Chairperson, here we are saying the department and National Treasury must really look at improving or augmenting the loan credit guarantee scheme. Over and above credit guarantees, the department and CIFA should explore alternative and innovative financial models such as invoice discounting, cession of contract and income in order to unlock the balance sheet of the commercial banks. Luckily, Chairperson, we visited some of the projects in Northwest where some of the intermediaries are already providing the invoice discounting. I'm not sure if CIFA has actually embraced this particular one. Also, the cession of contract, Chairperson, the commercial banks have often complained that National Treasury seems to be reluctant to issue a policy around this particular instrument where they can finance the purchase orders. Due to severe budgetary restrictions, the department and CIFA are unable to support millions of small enterprises. The committee will keep an eye on the department and agency quarterly reports to ensure that this suggestion is being followed through. 7.4, the committee supports the proposed initiatives to lessen the negative effects of load shedding on the small business sector. The committee urges the department to expedite these interventions so they can be announced on or before June 30, 2023. Chairperson, this was the committee was informed about this intervention towards the end of last year. The impression was created that the announcement will be made in due course, but it hasn't happened. So the push is to say, let it be done before the 30th of June. Since its creation, the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development has had to deal with the issue of business registration and licensing. I referred to two parliamentary audit committees, Chairperson, that looked into xenophobic attacks in 2008 and 2015, and the recommendations that were made. Chairperson and honorable members, it is a common practice around the world to not grant permits and licenses to immigrants in fields that should be reserved for South Africans. As promised in the Department Annual Performance Plan, that is 2021-2022, the Department must urgently finalize the Business Amendment Bill and refer the same to Parliament as soon as possible. Failing which, the committee might want to consider or to go back to its resolution of, you know, running with this, of instituting a committee bill to modernize the Business Amendment Bill. As earlier recommended, Section 2 of the National Small Business Amendment Act, number 26 of 2003, requires the minister to appoint members of the advisory board. This is in the Act, honorable members. The committee is requesting that the department start this process right away in order to finish it by the end of the second quarter of the current financial year. Alternatively, the department is required to inform or brief the committee and give justifications for why this specific commitment is not being carried out as pledged in the successive annual performance plan from last year to the current annual performance plan. 7.7, to prevent future and unfavorable environments and suspensions, the department must examine how well it spends its base budget and swiftly identify idle reserves. The primary causes and drivers of such environments are frequently poor expenditure on programs as well as products and services, which are typically an indication of vacancies. Chair, as we indicated earlier on, the Minister of Public Administration has approved DSBD structure. It's no longer a startup structure. So the department is now at liberty to advertise senior managerial positions and filling those vacancies. 7.8, CIFA needs to monitor MFIs and RFIs more closely in order to make sure that they are in line with the government's mandate of making finance accessible to all. The committee will now scrutinize CIFA's quarterly reports to determine if MFIs and RFIs operations are closely monitored. MFIs and RFIs products and services should not be in competition with CIFA. They should also not work against government objectives of making development credits accessible cheaply. 7.9, the committee is once more requesting that CEDA and CIFA re-evaluate how interconnected and interdependent their services are. The committee disagrees with the idea that funding applications and business plans created by CIFA could be arbitrarily rejected without appeal or corrective actions from CIFA. Future CIFA and CEDA quarterly reports should include a column describing the current status of all applications sent to and received by the two organizations respectively. Then the last one, Chair, to support the President's aspiration to eliminate the red tape, the committee is once again calling for the establishment of a parliamentary ad hoc committee or creation of the executive structure that will interface with the red tape reduction team at the presidency under the guidance and leadership of Mr. Ngozi. Chair, those are 10 recommendations that as a portfolio committee we are making for consideration and approval by the department. I'll will stop there for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Sbu. Can we go back to our agenda, because I think deliberation will be must be done after the second presentation. Can we go back to our agenda, King? Can you take us through on the tabling consideration and adoption of the March 2023 Northwest Oversight?
Oh, okay. The second one.
Yes.
Is it visible, Chair? Can you see from your side?
Not yet.
Tracking?
Not yet, Swan.
Not yet.
It says it.
So it's coming.
But it's coming, yeah. There it is now. It's visible now.
Okay, that's fine. Chair, okay. On. Okay, no, it's fine. Chair, honorable members, as you are aware, the portfolio committee undertook a trip to Northwest from 27 to 31 March. This is now the report for consideration by the portfolio committee. There are observations and recommendations towards the end of the report. What I will do, Chair, like the previous report that I presented, I will just glance over the document and then we will discuss observation and recommendations towards the end of them, towards the end of the report. Chair, it's a 36-page report. Then we have introduction on page one, which really is the report of the portfolio committee that discusses its oversight to the province of Northwest from 27 to 31 March. The objective of the visit, Chair, was specifically to visit projects that are funded by the agencies of the department, which is CIFA and CEDA, and also to go through the programs that both agencies are offering to small enterprises in Northwest. Then second page, Chair, is the background around the visit to Northwest. This is now the eighth province that the committee has visited since proclamation in 2014. Then there's a list on page three, it's a list of all the projects that the committee visited, and those that did not show up, they are also listed here. Then on page four, Chair, is the objective of the visit, which was to evaluate progress made on projects supported by CIFA and CEDA in line with their strategic plans and annual performance plan, to test the legitimacy of information provided by agencies through their quarterly and annual reports, and also to interact with the sector. Four, it's the composition of the delegation, Chairperson, members of the committee that attended, officials from Parliament, officials from the department, CIFA and CEDA, and also officials from the Department of Economic Development in the Northwest Province. Chairperson, day one, which was 27.
Someone is talking. Who's speaking?
It's Kruger. Chair, my presentation is not moving, so I don't know if everybody have the same problem, but I'm still at introduction.
Yeah, it is not you,
no.
Right? Yeah, it's now moving. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Cruz, for that observation.
Okay. Are you covered, Honorable Kruger? Is it moving now?
Yes, yes, it's far, yes. Right, thank you.
Okay. No, it's fine. So I'm on page 5, Honorable Kruger and Honorable Members. Day 1, we visited Mafeking Local Municipality. We gathered at CIFA provincial offices to introduce themselves, meet one another, and plan the day's events. Since the committee chairperson was not present on the first day due to earlier commitments, Honorable Hein April served as acting chairperson and leader of the delegation. Also, the deputy minister was there. She accompanied the committee to several of the locations or of the sites. The first day of the committee schedule was set aside for visits to Mahikeng Meat Market, Lonaka Project Group, Slar Mace, in the presence of the Small Enterprise Foundation, Kings and Queens Heart, with IntelliMatch Financial Services present, visit to Mpolisi Sianyane of Penyo Sanza Murana. It's a tuck shop, but registered as a company. And Miss Queen Seikepo of Kalisepo Business Enterprise, both of whom are small tuck shop owners and beneficiaries of CIFA Spaza Grant Facility Program in partnership with NetBank. However, Chairperson, due to time constraints, we did not visit Kings and Queens Heart on the first day, and we did not interact with IntelliMatch Financial Services. That visit was deferred for the next day. Chair, the Small Enterprise Foundation, it's an entity domiciled in Limpopo. It's registered as a non-profit company. It is licensed as a credit provider in terms of the National Credit Act by the National Credit Regulator, and that makes it eligible to provide credit to individuals and businesses. It was founded in 1991 and currently serves 163,773 customers in 7 different provinces of the country. Chair, I'm not going to go through item by item here, but safe to say that before we visited the Northwest, we had a planning meeting with colleagues from CIFA, from the department, and we specifically indicated that our primary focus when we visit the Northwest will be on intermediaries. And when we visit intermediaries, we'll just take one or two samples of the ventures or businesses funded by the intermediaries. So the expectation was senior leadership from SEF should have been there. Yes, there was someone representing a Small Enterprise Foundation, but there was no senior leadership, you know, as per the request from the Secretariat of the Portfolio Committee. For instance, members were left none the wiser regarding, among others, ownership of the company and its BBBE credentials, loan amount extended by CIFA, at what rate of interest, profile of small enterprises it supports, and the repayment record and so forth. We don't have that information, Chairperson. Then Slar Mace, it's a small survivalist venture, also located in Mabato. The business is a client of SEF, Small Enterprise Foundation, having been funded for a total of 8,000 rand. Chair, what one observed when the committee members interacted with SEF and the beneficiaries, the committee had no opinion on the SEF business or funding model. However, they were concerned about the intermediaries' reported interest rate of more than 29%. The owners of the business, who are primarily young and female, networked with the committee members, the Deputy Minister of Small Business Development, officials, the agencies, and the Provincial Department of Economic Development. Members of the committee were in agreement that the venture, it's a small tuck shop operated in the homestead. This is a survivalist venture, Chairperson. You know, that's why here we are saying, for instance, members expressed concern because it appeared that the relationship between SEF and CIFA was not one of a mutually beneficial partnership. For instance, there is a legitimate expectation that SEF ought to have served as the program spokesperson when the department and CIFA introduced the Spaza Shop Assistance Program, which targets township and rural entrepreneurs who run Spaza Shop, general dealers and groceries. It is plausible to assume that this information was intentionally withheld to prevent SEF potential customers from turning to CIFA. Also unknown is why CIFA does not direct MFIs or RFIs to identify or target specific market or clientele that are not in line with the service of the department CIFA or CIDA, so that they is complementary. Like one project chairperson, we'll speak about it towards the end of the report that we visited that was funded by Enable Capital. And Enable Capital has a niche. It specifically targets sectors like ICT, you know, fiber installation and so forth. So it's understandable if such is given to entities like Enable Capital, because there is no capacity from CIFA to evaluate such applications. But in this particular instance, Chairperson, that's why maybe members were sort of concerned that there seems to be no complementary between what SEF is providing and CIFA, or instead there seems to be a competition between the two. Chairperson, we visited Lonapa Projects Group, which is a multi-purpose agricultural project based in Mabato. It's owned by Mr. Kagiso Dirapelo. It is a potential business initiative that is well-run, owner-managed, homestead-based, and has the necessary skill set to operate a business of its kind. The project is co-sponsored by CIFA and CIDA. The project qualified for CIFA loan of 300,000 and a grant of 50,000. Chairperson, on site, there is a poultry processing trailer, a hen that lay eggs for egg production, and modern layer poultry structure finished with equipment for cleaning and disinfection, broiler, drinking, feeding, lighting, heating, and ventilation systems. Chairperson, the committee was quite pleased with Mr. Dirapelo's demonstrable knowledge of the sector and the business itself. The collaboration between CIDA and CIFA in this particular project was exemplary of how potential projects such as this should be cushioned and padded, especially during the early stages of operation. From the activities and assets found on site, it was evident that the enterprise had really received a sizable investment in the form of the owner's equity, considering CIFA's significant loan amount of slightly less than 300,000. In other words, Chairperson, the assets that the committee found on site, they can easily be above R1 million. The committee further learned that CIFA loan was being serviced, but not sufficiently as it should. To foster business growth, the owner identified the underlying problems, and he is collaborating with CIDA and CIFA to address those. Members of the committee directed CIDA and CIFA officials to work closely with Mr. Dirapelo to ensure that the project is nurtured to the point of self-sufficiency. From there, the committee moved to Kanisejo Business Enterprise. This is a tuck shop, a chairperson owned by Ms. Munkla. The tuck shop is situated in Mabato. The tuck shop is a beneficiary of Spaza Shop grant facility under Hula Credit Guarantee Program. The program members had the honor of speaking with Ms. Mugla, who took time to outline some of the difficulties the business is operating under. She informed the committee that due to the absence of a retail infrastructure in townships, finding the ideal site for a small tuck store is often difficult as well. Then members of the committee inquired if she had received a visit from either CIDA or CIFA after business and how much she was funded for. In response, Ms. Mutla informed the committee that she was funded for 3,500 in 2020. Since she received funding in 2020, neither SIFA nor SIDA has visited her. She replied in the affirmative, expressing a desire to grow a business should the opportunity arise. Members were obviously alarmed at the discrepancy of information relayed by the recipient, which is Ms. Mutla, and the documents submitted by SIFA to the committee, which indicated a funding to the tune of 10,500. SIFA representatives who were present, this is now the SIFA regional manager or provincial manager, could not provide answers at the time, but undertook to follow up with the national office to find out precisely what could have transpired. The committee then thanked Ms. Mutla for her time and assured her that they will keep her updated on the status of the remaining balance of 7,000 shares. Nabisa is here. Nabisa, if you can please take note, because I believe you also made follow-up calls to these beneficiaries to see if this money was indeed received. Then from there, Chairperson, we went to Mahikeng Meat Market, which is a private initiative owner managed by Mr. Grafetswe Ramunyan. The project is located between the towns of Lichtenburg and Mahikeng. The project is a beneficiary of SIFA direct lending. It is funded for a sum total of 4.53 million, which was divided into 8 tranches. I think we should also include the grant element here, because I believe there is a grant element as well. The application for finance was lodged with SIFA in 2018. However, due to the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, its processing was delayed. When the committee interacted with the owner of the business, we discovered that the business specializes in the preparation, processing, and value-adding of meat into beef patties, sausages, mince, etc. Its target market are restaurants, hotels, and random clients that one meets for weddings, funerals, and various other functions. Some clients buy plain carcasses. The Mahikeng Meat Market does not own cattle. Neither does it own the property or land where the structure is rented. The land belongs to Barolong Barabulang Trust, and through the Communal Property Association Act, the CPA, descendants of the tribe have unrestricted access to land. So this is how Mr. Ramunyani is benefiting from that is how Mr. Ramunyani operating in that area. Chair, towards the end of the, during the interaction with the committee, the committee inquired if Mr. Ramunyani was actually servicing SIFA loan. And then it discovered that the SIFA loan was used to purchase 2 trucks. It made renovations in the property and bought new refrigerators while the owner is getting paid from the same loan. As a result, Mr. Ramunyani has asked SIFA for moratorium since the loan is not being serviced. The reason why the project is not fully operational is the absence of HACCP, which is the Hazard Analysis Critical Control Point. This is the foremost cause of the company's inability to operate optimally or break even. Chair, we are making note here that during interactions with the owner and manager of the project, members immediately realized that this is a typical initiative that SIFA sponsored without conducting an adequate due diligence. Adhering to HACCP compliance is a legal requirement for major chain stores like Woolworths, Checkers, Pick and Pay restaurants, and hotels. This is the target market, Chairperson. It follows that the business plan that was submitted to SIFA would have contained this information, because SIFA would obviously ask, who is your target market? market, then the manager would say, I'm targeting Woolworths, Checkers, Pick and Pay, restaurants, etc. And then HACCP, it's a legal requirement for one to be approved. CEDA do assist aspiring entrepreneurs to comply with such standards, including labeling. It is not clear how the funding was approved without these requirements. Also, Chairperson, for the committee to note is that the National Credit Act requires the credit provider to perform a pre-agreement evaluation before issuing credit in order to prevent credit from being given carelessly. The assessment's goal is to determine a consumer's ability to pay back the proposed credit within the agreement's terms and circumstances. Presently, there is no reason to think or suggest that CIFA painstakingly went through that grueling procedure. Alternatively, CIFA could have approved Mahikeng Meat Market application without HACCP certificate and disburse money once the client conformed with HACCP requirements. Reasonable care and caution was accordingly not exercised in this particular project. From there, Chair, we visited the Spaza shop owner managed by Mr. Ngolisi Sianyane. It is based in Dibate village in Mabato. Mr. Sianyane is also a beneficiary of the CIFA Spaza Shop Grant Facility, a program that is offered with Nedbank. When the committee went to his doors, the business was fully operational. That was quite impressive. The shop's inventory is made up of everyday items, including bread, beverages, fruits and cigarettes, etc. He uses a rented property to run his business. Then, Chair, the department, in 2020, Mr. Sianyane received a grant funding of 3,500 from CIFA. But according to the documentation provided to the committee, he was paid 3,500 rand in May 2020 and 7,000 rand in 31 March 2022. While speaking with the committee, he only acknowledged receiving 3,500 and admitted that CIFA had called him the day before to inquire whether he had received the additional 7,000 rand. So some of the recipients were only called when the committee was in Northwest. Chair, I will jump to the next one because they are more or less the same. So this was the last one, Chairperson, we did during the first day. Then on the second day, we visited the Togo local municipality where the committee visited Blossom Bakery and Distribution. It's a private initiative based in Itsoseng Township. It's owned by Mr. Hosimele. Before the COVID-19 pandemic in 2019, the project was conceived and launched. They are renting the property from the Northwest Development Corporation. The project is sponsored by CIFA and CEDA. CIFA authorized a loan amount of 350,000 rand plus a grant portion of 5,000 under the Township and Rural Entrepreneurship Program, TREP. The owner informed the committee that he bought the equipment, ovens, mixers, washing scales, baking, and utensils with the money he received from CIFA. While CEDA provided the company with marketing and promotional material to the tune of about 550,000, and also under Technology Transfer Assistance, not program, TTA, CEDA assisted the project with the creation of a business plan that enabled CIFA funding. Also, the Provincial Department of Economic Development assisted the project with a grant funding of 200,000, which the business owner used to reinforce operations and acquired, among others, the Jojo tank, refrigerators, and equipment. Chair, let me jump there and then go to the next one as well. This is, again, like Lunako projects that the portfolio committee had visited the day before. This is one of the projects that is supported by both CEDA and CIFA. It's a very promising project. It has potential. Mr. Hosimele wants to expand operations to include cakes, pastries, and other baked foods. In terms of servicing CIFA loan, he is servicing CIFA loan, but also
he's not doing it adequately. Some of the reasons why he's not doing so, it's because of the energy crisis that is currently going on. And also, he requested the committee to intervene because he's trying to acquire a delivery vehicle. He actually showed us two vehicles on site that he uses to deliver his bread, which are definitely not usable for that purpose. So his additional application to CIFA was declined because of the affordability. The committee members were impressed with the commercial endeavor and agreed to support the founder's visions and board. Then from there, Chair, we visited Ramosisa Netelapedi Enterprise 2015. It's registered as Ramosisa Netelapedi Enterprise 2015 Pty Ltd. It's a tuck shop, Chair, based in the area called Roy Front, outside Lichtenberg. It's a family-oriented business owned and managed by husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Telapedi. Similar to the other projects visited by the committee the day before, the beneficiary of the spaza shop, it's a beneficiary of the CIFA spaza shop grant facility. They only received 3,500 rands in 2020. They are not aware of the 10,500 rands that they are alleged to have received in 2022. Chair, again, let me jump to the next one. During the previous day, members had complained to CIFA and the department to say they are frustrated because they were not getting answers. Each time a committee member posed a question, the provincial manager would call the national office. So there was then a decision to say maybe someone from the national office must on Tuesday, be present in the briefings. And then the committee was joined by Mr. Lehana. He's the head of Kula Credit Guarantee. He was present during the slip of the visit. He explained to the committee that the fund's original ceiling was 3,500 rands. However, CIFA made a strategic decision to increase this fund to 10,500. All recipients of the spaza shop grant facility had their remaining 7,000 rands transferred into their NetBank mobile money wallet as early as March 2022. He said that possibly CIFA might have done better after being questioned by members about why the recipients were not called or informed. Additionally, he also tried to correct information communicated the day before that the 7,000 rands was actually a grant, not a debt. The committee's chairperson appreciated the clarity and thanked Ms. Telapedi for her time and for sharing her personal experience with the committee. She gave her assurance that the situation with the remaining 7,000 rands will be investigated and the response given before Friday, March 31, 2023. I hope, Nwabiso, you are taking notes because I believe you also called these guys. In fact, I've been in discussion with Mr. Telapedi as well myself, where I've discovered that he has actually received the money and he bought some stuff from Wonderland in Klerksdorp, which is about 170 kilometers away from where the tap shop is operated. Then the next one, chairperson, was Mwaludi Tap Shop. It's owned by Miss Maria Molaudi. The establishment is situated in the local municipality of Tisomotla, also in Lichtenberg. Also, the project received 3,500 rands. It's a beneficiary of the spaza shop grant facility. In this particular visit, chairperson, we note that there was a serious complaint from Ms. Mwaludi with the prevalence of immigrants in the spaza shop sector, including Somalis, Bangladeshis, and Pakistanis. She believed that South Africans should be the only ones working in this industry. She also lamented the local government's dearth of funds and lack of business support. As a sector, they feel let down by the local government failure to implement the bylaws. backyard crops, it's one of the projects, Chairperson, that we visited. It is a beneficiary of the cooler credit guarantee or portfolio credit guarantee. It actually received its funding after it's ostensibly financing the company with 4.6 million. The company consequently benefits from the CIFA portfolio credit guarantee, under which CIFA will assume 80% of the debt in the event that AFSA, in the event that AFSA client, which is Backyard Crops Ltd, defaults. CIFA's credit guarantee provides lenders, commercial banks in particular, and other financial institutions with a variety of credit guarantee options for SME borrowers whose access to finance is restricted because they lack the necessary collateral. Chairperson, the committee spent little time on this project because the owner, Mr. Johannes, was not available to interact with the committee. We don't know why he was not there. There is also no reasons provided by CIFA as to why he declined the invitation by the committee without apology. From there, Chair, we went to Lesh Tuck Shop. It's a small tuck shop in Manza Village under Mahikeng local municipality. It is also a spaza shop grant facility alleged to have received 10,500, but when the committee interacted with Mr. Rorisan, the son, because Ms. Musele Lishomo was not present when the committee visited her premises due to prior church commitments, Mr. Rorisan Lishomo informed the committee that the project only received 3.5 in 2020, and they were unaware of the further 7,000 rands that was allegedly given in 2022. Because the business owner, Ms. Lishomo, was unavailable, interactions with Mr. Lishomo were restricted to learning a few details about CIFA support and the business itself. The chairperson commended the family for making time to communicate with the committee. Once more, she reiterated her commitment to following up on the unresolved issues involving purportedly paid money. I presume you are making note of this as well. Then, Chair, you will recall that IntelliMage Financial Services and Kings and Queens had actually been scheduled for the first day, but due to time constraints, they were then deferred to the following day. IntelliMage Financial Services owner and manager was not available to interact with the committee, neither was the director of the Kings and Queen Heart Pty Ltd. But Chairperson, this is one of the CIFA intermediaries that is domiciled in Sandton, Gauteng. It is fully registered in terms of the Companies Act and fully licensed by National Credit Regulator. It's owned by Mr. Karel Kublang Mahale, who was not present on site when the committee had planned to interact with one of his company's beneficiaries, Kings and Queen's Heart. There has also been no explanation provided for his absence. Chair, I'm going to rush to the next one. When the Chair, here what the committee is raising towards the latter part of this section is the committee is noting with concern that there seems to be information blackout about this particular intermediary. We don't know anything about this intermediary, Chairperson. The committee further records with great concern that the director is also a director of Tautona Holdings, presently entangled in a fierce battle with the South African Reserve Bank. This, Chair, is a public information. It's a publicly gazetted document in the General Notice 735 of 2021. In other words, Chairperson and Honourable Members, CIFA approved funding to a company whose director was subject of inquiry by the state for allegedly appropriating more than 10 million rands from public funds. This is what South African Reserve Bank is demanding from this company. Again, Chairperson, the due diligence meticulously carried out and conducted with a high level of care, skill and knowledge especially because it is publicly available. The same company, Tautona, is also a beneficiary recipient of Industrial Development Corporation funding to the tune of 2.6 million in August 2018. We do not know, Chairperson, whether this loan is being serviced. Maybe additional inquiry is required in this regard to check which other FDI is owed money by this particular company or by IntelliMatch Financial Services. Chairperson, we don't know if SIFA loan is being serviced. We don't know how much money was given to this particular company. There is just no information. As you are aware, Chairperson, there is a pending request for further information from the ministry, the department, and SIFA around this particular company. This company, Chairperson, the intermediary funded Kings and Queen's Heart. It's a registered private company under the directorship of Mr. Kidumezile Sipho Kobani. Its domicilium address is Peace Crescent in Mabato. Again, Chair, during the oversight visit in Northwest, the committee visited a trading hub where it is alleged that the business is operated from, but the gates were locked. IntelliMatch Financial Services provided a funding to this particular company to the tune of 2.6 million over the course of four installments. Attempts at reaching out the owner of the business and the fund are proved futile when we visited this project. Again, the committee is awaiting the report from SIFA, which will hopefully shed light on what precisely is going on with the project. Then, Chair, on day three, we visited Rustenburg Local Municipality. The following small businesses and individuals were scheduled for visits. Big Engineering Solutions, OM Setters, Mohake Legacy Holdings, the school, Wood, the Smith School in Rustenburg, Miss Memory Chauke, Miss Karabon Laud, Vault Amp Technologies, Ezemali Africa, Brighton Capital, and Miss Cindy Soma Women. Chair, during this leg of the visit, we met at the CEDA offices in Rustenburg for a debrief. In this meeting, there was CFO representing Ezemali, which is a four-year-old private company based in Centurion, Pretoria. It was registered in 2019 and granted a license by the National Credit Regulator in February 2021. It is unclear, Chairperson, when SIFA granted its approval to operate as an RFI or MFI, because by 2021, the same year it was licensed by NCR, it had already started issuing out loans. This is the information we got from SIFA. One such endeavor is the Rustenburg base, or one of the beneficiaries of the of Ezemali Africa is the school, World Technical School, also based in Rustenburg. Other Northwest clients funded by the same intermediary are DHA Mahikeng. This is not a registered company, Chairperson, and the Donkey Dairy Pty Ltd. We don't know what does this particular company do, whether it's conducting a business that is in line with the mandate of the department and SIFA. Chairperson, the SIFA terms and conditions that govern how RFIs and MFIs are recruited. It is a requirement that a prospective RFI or MFI must have a minimum of 2 years in operation with a demonstration of microfinance lending and alignment of the institution's operations to SIFA's developmental objectives. The agency policies do not contain any clauses that provide a waiver or suspension of these obligations. It is quite evident in this situation that SIFA regulations and policies were disregarded when Ezemali Africa was accepted. The company's chief financial officer, who appeared on behalf of the company, stated that SIFA authorized the funding to the tune of 20 million rands around a year and a half ago, which means it's the same year when this company actually obtained its credit provider license. secondary. It is not a non-profit organization or for-profit institution, as it was alleged in the briefing. It is not a non-profit company, it's a public school. As a public school, it receives all of its funding support from the government. Accordingly, funding of the public facility is not in line with CIFA mandate. As the Mali Africa approved funding for the school to lease but not acquire printers. Honorable members, this is strange. In terms of the arrangement, as the Mali Africa would pay the supplier to lease printers to the school and would later send invoices to the school, as the Mali would then send invoices to the school. The intermediary is effectively serving as a middleman. It is ridiculous how this whole arrangement is set up. Once more, the type of activity being carried out by the intermediary does not complement CIFA mandate, which is to support small enterprises financially. When the committee visited Northwest, schools were on recess. It could not therefore interact with the school's management and the school governing body to understand how was this loan acquired and how does it assist the school. The rate of interest charged by the intermediary to its clients varies depending on the prevailing repo rate and what CIFA charges. However, on average, the markup is 5%, is usually levied to help the intermediary cover its overhead cost. On the question of ownership, the committee learned that the black ownership makes up 51% of the business. The next one, Chairperson, Brighton Capital, was not present. It was supposed to meet with the committee at the premises of Vault Amp Technologies, but no one showed up, and there is no apology received by the committee as to why they were not there. But we visited Vault Amp Technologies, which is a black-owned firm based in Rustenburg. It was founded in 2018. It has experienced exponential growth. It provides engineering design, manufacturing, repairing, and installation to industries, mines, and municipalities. Mr. Karabo Masoko is the managing director and the shareholder of the company. He is the one who welcomed members of the committee and took them through the operations and processes. The company has a stable clientele, Chairperson, that include but not limited to Coca-Cola, Eskom, SABS, World of Cocaine, Nestle, Stillwater, and Transnet. The intermediary chair was funded by Brighton Capital for 2.6 million when the company needed loans to expand the business operation. Members probed Vault M Technologies' decision not to contact CIFA or commercial banks concerning expansion plans. They also inquired about the rate of interest the intermediary charged. In his briefing, Mr. Masoko explained that he had just recently discovered that he had actually borrowed money from the government through a third party, who had at one point imposed a 22% interest rate. CIFA members who were present in this leg of the visit were asked the same question on the rate. How much interest would CIFA have charged the company if CIFA had been approached directly by the company? The reply was that CIFA typically adds 3 to 5% to the repo rate. The repo rate, Chairperson, is 10.5% currently, meaning CIFA would usually add maybe 3 to 5%, which comes to the region of about 13-14%. Then the intermediary would then add its own markup, you know, which usually takes it beyond 20%. The members' main concern with intermediaries is that CIFA has a responsibility to offer developmental credit as a development finance institution, which implies low payback rates. However, rather than CIFA's target market and end users, such as informal traders, other shop owners, small businesses, and cooperatives, middlemen or intermediaries end up being the biggest beneficiaries of this program. Members commended the managing director for making them feel welcome and advised them to speak to CIFA directly for future financial needs. Chair, one thing that we did not mention here is that this particular company is servicing a Brighton Capital loan very well. There are no issues, there are no excuses, they are doing it very well. Then the next visit, Chairperson, was to Ms. Karabo Ndawuzi and Memory Chauke. I was supposed to include Memory Chauke here. They are both beneficiaries. Now, Chair, it differs here. These ones are beneficiaries of informal traders support program. Hence, they received 3,000 rand, not 3,500 or 10,500. The program is awarded to selected informal traders through NetBank Money, Mobi Money Wallet. Applications not prepared nor submitted by individual traders, but an association. In other words, no application will be accepted by SIFA coming from an individual, unlike the Spaza Shop, where the individual can apply directly to SIFA. These ones, they apply through the business forums, they apply through the association, through local economic development offices of the municipality, or they must approach CEDA branch offices. The committee networked with the recipients who benefited from the program to ascertain what they did with the money, how did it assist them, and other assistance they require from the department. Members also queried as to why in this case, compared to Spaza Shop program, amounts were not the same, which was explained by Mr. Don Marshall of CIFA, that this one is more or less a Spaza Shop is more or less a top notch of informal trading, because they also incur cost of operating like others. They pay rent, others they pay electricity bills and so forth, whereas the informal traders, it's a hawker or street vendor of some sort, you know, they don't incur any cost to actually carry out their operation, hence the discrepancy in terms of the amount. Chair, from there, the committee went to one of the ladies, Miss Molesane, Oteng Molesane. She's the owner of OM Setters, which is a youth female-owned business based in Kuking, Rustenburg. The business is financed by SIFA for a loan amount of 336,000 rand and a grant of 50,000. Miss Molesane has been around. She started the business first by attending trainings with NYDA, Royal Bafokeng Enterprise Development, they call it RB, and CEDA. She informed the committee that these trainings were very helpful in terms of sharpening a business awareness document. Chairperson, Ms. Molozani is involved in the landscaping business. She is doing work for Bafokeng Rasimone Platinum Mine and Fraser Alexander. Even though these are not long-term based projects, but based on purchase order, meaning she's just given a purchase order to do a specific work, they do, however, make a difference. She was assisted by the TTA program of CEDA to the tune of about 150,000 while starting a landscaping business. Tepe said one thing to note here is that she's servicing SIFA loan, but again, she's not doing it adequately. She is working with CEDA and SIFA provincial offices to ensure that she recapitalizes the program. Because according to what she told the portfolio committee, they have collectively identified areas where ordain require your assistance. The committee was pleased by Ms. Molotane's compelling presentation and her entrepreneurially adventurous attitude. On behalf of the committee, the chairperson thanked her for finding time despite her busy schedule to brief the committee. She was in the battlefield, the chairperson will recall, and I still recall that members of the portfolio committee were quite impressed with that. Then from there, Big Engineering, which is 100% black-owned company based in Bogdal, Rustenburg, was registered in 2013 with a focus on providing mining engineering services and products. It's a relatively young company by the standards of the South African mining sector, but it has established a solid reputation as a trustworthy partner to many operators in the Northwest Province and beyond. This project was funded by CIFA for 11.6 million, and then it was given a grant of 2.1 million. The directors who welcomed the committee members and gave them a tour of the facility told the committee that the funds helped the company to expand its operation and fulfill an increasing number of orders from clients. This company is renting a property which was inherited from Setswana, the former TBVC state, by provincial government through the Northwest Development Corporation. This is now the second project that the committee visited that is renting property through the Northwest Development Corporation. The company entered into a 10-year lease and renting an amount of 50,000 every month, while on one hand it is servicing a CIFA loan of 200,000. Like all other small businesses, load shedding related challenges are threatening evolution of such ventures. Chair, one thing that maybe we need to make note of here is that the lease is 10 years. Ideally, particularly because of the investment that they've done on these premises, they would want to go on a 30-year lease. Maybe it's one thing that this committee would want to take a decision on. In terms of the employment, Chair, they have three divisions which employs about 60 employees. The business is easily repaying the CIFA loan. The committee members were quite impressed by the business, which served as a living testimony that anything is possible. The chairperson thanked the management and wished them well. I forgot to thank the food here, chairperson. We ate nice food here. Then the next one, Chair, it's called Vinci Cyber Cafe, but it is formally registered as Active Task Pty Ltd. It was formed in 2014 by Mr. Vincent Tladi. It was funded by CIFA for 105,000 plus 5,000 rand in grant funding. It is operating an internet cafe. It does printing, duplex printing, bulk printing, email faxing, laminating, flyers, and so forth. As part of its scheduled visit, the committee went to see Mr. Travis operation. It's in Marikana, where it is currently operating. Mr. Tladi informed the members during the briefing that he purchased an all-in-one, it's an industrial printing equipment that he acquired with the loan that he received from CIFA. He did, however, confirm that the machine was not there. It was instead in Randburg, Gauteng, in one of his internet cafes. Members questioned whether it was appropriate for a Northwest entity to request support to buy equipment for use in another province, and whether CIFA was aware of the equipment's position. Not too many responses were forthcoming in this regard. Mr. Tladi informed the committee that he was making little payments when he had enough savings in response to the question of whether the CIFA loan was being serviced or not. The machine remained unused, which presented a problem. The committee expressed worry that even the first floor area his company was using was insufficient to house the kind of printer he claimed to have purchased. Again, Chairperson, this is one of the projects that they made. It may have been funded without properly subjecting it to due diligence. The members of the committee decided that CIFA should draft a report outlining how the situation will be resolved. The machine is not there. The client is not servicing CIFA money. The area in which the client is operating, it can accommodate this particular machine. Yeah. Then on the last day, Chair, of the visit was earmarked for interactions with Forward Finance, Nyami Berries, Enable Capital, Funego Technologies, Optimum Harvest Cooperative Limited, and Matlakudimo Service Primary Cooperative Limited. And also, Chairperson, on its way towards Gauteng, the committee was invited by SEDA to pay a courtesy visit to a pop-up market at Brett's Mall. The aim of this initiative, Chair, is to assist SMMEs and cooperatives with access to market. Well, I'm not going to go through with the SEDA. It was just a courtesy call that the portfolio committee did to some of the small enterprises that were exhibiting their products at Brett's Mall. Chair, in terms of the portfolio committee schedule on the last day, we had planned to visit Nyami Berries. It's a farm. It's based in Moinoy, outside Brett's. It's based in Moinoy, outside Brett's, Chairperson. It is understood that the financing is a portion of the 30 million euros that the European Union Commission allocated to CIFA for the employment promotion via SMME support program. Chair, this particular project, we are making again an observation towards the end of the report to say the information that was given to the portfolio committee is that the company that funded Nyami Berries is EU Forward Finance Accelerator Pty Ltd. Such company does not exist. So in the absence of information, Chairperson, we are presuming that Forward Finance Pty Ltd, which is based in Hilton, Pietermaritzburg, KwaZulu-Natal, is the one that funded Nyami Berries. The Forward Finance Pty Ltd was registered in 2011, licensed in 2013 as a credit provider by NCR. It provides a variety of innovative solutions for its clients who are mainly farmers and agri contractors. Some of its products are early payment on delivery and cash flow facility, which basically provides the farmer access to cash throughout the season. Forward Finance funded Nyami Berries Pty Ltd for an amount of 53 million. The Nyami Berries itself, its offices are located in Paarl, Western Cape. However, the project that the committee visited is located at R104 in Moinoy. Chair, one thing we noted about this particular project is that the Australian High Commissioner in South Africa, Ms. Nita Kamath, visited the project in August 2022. And in this visit, this project was branded as the United Exports Flagship Blueberry Farm. We don't know what that means, Chairperson, as we await additional information from CIFA to clarify us as to what exactly is going on here. Chair, a written request for supplementary information about the project from Parliament's officials to CIFA, Mr. George Mutwa, who was there when we visited the project, and Mr. Kagiso Manjinja, who is the CIFA provincial manager, have also not been responded, so we are still waiting. The committee is aware that specifics about this initiative could be included in a thorough report by the agency that will be provided to the committee in due course. Next one, Chair, which did not honor the committee's invitation, was the Naval Capital, which funded Funego Technologies. It's also a registered company, licensed by National Credit Regulator. It therefore qualifies to provide credit. It specializes in the provision of short-term funding solutions to subcontractors involved in the physical construction and deployment of local, regional, and national fiber network infrastructure in South Africa. Chairperson, we are noting here that by using an invoice discounting model to help relieve cash flow constraints, Enable Capital offers creative financing options to subcontractors through its unique technology and platform. Invoice financing gives the small businesses access to funds when cash flow stalls. In other words, when the payments are delayed, invoice financing could be an option for small businesses. And this is one innovative instrument, Chairperson, that we are recommending that USIFA should adopt going forward.
Are you still there?
He has disappeared.
I thought I lost connection, Chairperson.
Am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Am I audible?
Yeah, but we don't see the presentation.
So, okay.
Yeah. There is no presentation on the screen.
Okay, let me check again, Jim. Let me try and upload it again. Can you see it now?
Yes. We can.
Okay. Chair. Yes, Chair. I was on Able Capital and Funego Technologies. Funego is one of the projects we visited, Chairperson, you will recall, owned by Mr. Borda. Chair, here we are saying the portfolio committee is on record having expressed support for the innovative funding methods such as invoice discounting and cession of contract to income to alleviate pressure on fiscals. However, it does not help the process much if the government is the source of those funds. So what we're saying here, Chairperson, is USIFA must go out and look for private sector partnerships. Old Mutual announced recently that Hybrid Equity, a division of Old Mutual Alternative Investments, has acquired a substantial percentage in the capital structure on Able Capital. These are some of the innovative ideas, Chairperson, that ideally USIFA should actually be pursuing with the assistance of the department. Chair, the Enable Capital was registered in July 2018, licensed in 2020. It is based in Paarl, Western Cape. Its client, Funego Technologies, was funded by Enable Capital to the tune of $2 million. Chair, this is one of the projects, again, where the owner was not aware that he can actually approve. Am I audible, Chair? Colleagues?
Yes, you are over there.
So the next project we visited was Optimum Harvest Cooperative Limited. It's a youthful, okay, it's Chairperson, it's based in Brest in Northwest. It is a 5-member cooperative registered in 2013. It has benefited from the Department of Small Business Development CIS grant portion of 320,000. It was also assisted by the Department of Agriculture to the tune of $2 million, which is used to reinforce operations in the farm. It was also supported by the NYDA to the tune of 50,000 rands to acquire the new transmission. Chair, the project is not fully operational, but CIFA and CIDA were there. The committee ordered CIDA to conduct an analysis of the cooperative's business operations with a view to allocating the required resources to
scale up agricultural activities as it called for adjournment of the meeting. Then the last project, Chair, that the committee visited was Batlapoti Most Services Primary Cooperative, which is a family-run operation based in Brett as well. Chair, this is one of the most progressive projects visited by the committee, operating and located in Brett. CEDA has been very active in terms of assisting this particular cooperative right from the early, right from 2010. The cooperative first approached CEDA when individual members were farming sunflower on their personal farm. The members sought advice on how to become self-sufficient. According to CEDA's initial analysis, the cooperative was not registered. The cooperative had a good partnership with Obaro, where most of the proceeds would go. Their supplier or their suppliers of seedling business has been equipment. The CEDA intervention, honorable members, included aiding the cooperative in terms of the registration. It also aided the cooperative in terms of training of growing vegetables and sunflower. They were also referred to Land Affairs for information on buying or leasing a government farm. So, Chair, in conclusion, this is a very viable project. It currently employs over 70 seasonal workers in addition to 10 permanent employees. There are currently 16,000 citrus trees on the farm. In addition to its export contracts, the cooperative also provides services to regional businesses. The cooperative briefed the committee in a freshly constructed pack house. It's a new pack house that the rural development paid for approximately 15 million rands. The cooperative's members were sure that the pack house will significantly reduce costs and eventually result in the cooperative hiring perhaps more than 200 employees. The committee inspected the project and was quite pleased with how the business is run. The chairperson urged CEDA to keep supporting the cooperative and actively seek out measures that will advance the project alongside CIFA and the department. Then, Chair, on the basis of our visit to Northwest, here are some of the committee observations that we are making. Number one, following the committee visit to Northwest Province and in response to directives from committee members to gather more information about some of the projects, the chairperson wrote to the ministry, department and CIFA accounting authority requesting additional information to enable the committee make an informed judgment and plan the next steps for some of the projects. Since then, neither the department nor CIFA has provided the secretariat with any such information. The second one, the committee notes that scheduled meeting with intermediaries who did not partake in the oversight visit as requested by the committee was cancelled. This was the meeting, honorable members, that was supposed to have taken place last week. The meeting was cancelled at the behest of the minister. The intermediaries are Intellimage Financial Services, Brighton Capital Pty Ltd, Forward Finance Pty Ltd, and Enable Capital Pty Ltd. Number three, members voiced concerns during the oversight that CIFA's wholesale lending program has too many hurdles and does not support the agency's original purpose of financial inclusion. Some of the observations made by members are as follows. Most of the intermediaries do not comply with the lending procedures as stipulated in the National Credit Act. They charge exorbitant interest rate beyond the required limit. Marang Financial Services Pty Ltd, erstwhile or former CIFA client, is one such intermediary that was found to have engaged in prohibited conduct by violating the Act's stipulated provisions, specifically overcharging clients for amounts in excess of the authorized fees and interest. It was fined by the National Credit Regulator and later applied for liquidation while it was still owing CIFA more than 80 million rand. Committee members were also unimpressed by the Small Enterprise Foundation's reported 29% interest rate against Flaro Ace, the survivalist business venture. The intermediarism is the cost of credit for the recipients or end user, who are ultimate CIFA beneficiaries. According to CIFA, intermediaries receive, on average, prime lending rate, which is 10.5 plus 3 to 5%, and double or triple to what CIFA charges. In other words, it does not set to determine the markup percentage. CIFA does not determine the markup percentage that each intermediary should charge. CIFA does not supervise or monitor the interest rates that intermediaries charge their clients. It sees this as a unique responsibility of the regulator, which is the National Credit Regulator. However, the regulator responds and investigates only when there is a complaint against the credit provider. Same as Marang Financial Services. There was a complainant. That's when National Credit Regulator embarked on an investigation, and a lot after that was discovered. Some of the projects funded by intermediaries do not conform to CIFA's mandate of supporting small enterprises as defined in the National Small Enterprise Act, like funding of the school. When selecting RFIs and MFIs to partner with, CIFA does not impose any conditions, like the BBBE standards or transformation agenda that each intermediary must meet. As a result, the majority of intermediaries on the CIFA database are white-owned. Intermediaries themselves are not obligated to support government transformation efforts. 9.3.6, the NCR licensing status for some of the intermediaries like De Novo Medical Solutions to ILTP is not known or cannot be determined. This is one of the CIFA intermediaries, honorable members, that is on the CIFA database, but it does not appear on the NCR database. So we're not sure whether it is registered or whether it is licensed or not. The committee's request for CIFA to produce profiles of its intermediaries has not been met. The committee has limited information at its disposal. As a result, it is unable to adequately discharge its responsibilities to examine CIFA's progress as mandated by the Constitution. Unlike direct lending, where CIFA recipients benefit from affordable interest rate and blended finance, this is now the pushing component. Intermediary clients are not extended that courtesy. One project or company, Kings and Queens Heart Pty Ltd, funded by Intelimed Financial Services Pty Ltd, was not found. To date, the committee has no idea where the company is or if it even exists. During the oversight, attempts to trace both the financier, which is the owner of Intelimed Financial Services, and the receiver, which is the director of Kings and Queens, were unsuccessful. Some intermediaries, like Ezemali Africa, Intelimed Financial Services, and others, they qualify as CIFA intermediaries immediately after licensing. This cast doubt on the effectiveness of recruitment process because CIFA policies and guidelines stipulate that prospective MFI or RFI must have a minimum of 2 years lending experience. For instance, Ezemali Africa is a four-year-old company registered in 2019. It was granted a credit provider license by the NCR in February 2021. But on the same year when it was licensed by NCR, it had already started issuing hard loans. So it means there is a possibility that CIFA regulations and policies were violated when this particular company was approved. The committee observed that there are very good projects funded by intermediaries. Vault Amp Technology is one such company funded by Brighton Capital Pty Ltd. It is a business venture that ticks all the boxes. However, as noted above, its repayment interest is in excess of 22%, and by virtue of having been funded by an intermediary, it did not qualify for a blended finance benefit, which is a grant component. 9.4, in terms of direct loans, the committee visited Lonaga Projects, Pty Ltd, and Mahikeng Meat Market, Pty Ltd. The committee found significant differences between the two projects. Lonaga has the lowest funding, but is fully operating. Lonaga funding is 300,000. Mahikeng Meat Market is funded for 4.3 million. It received the largest portion of the SIFA loan, although it is not operating owing to poor due diligence. Both initiatives benefited from blended finance and low interest. 9.5, members of the committee observed that SIFA does not even know the exact location of the project it funded. Most of the projects the committee visited had to be looked for or searched with SIFA officials. Impairments and loan write-offs are still very high because there is no post-investment support and monitoring to conduct early detection, analyze and manage troubled projects. On informal trader support program, the committee visited two projects funded for 3,000 rand. Members noted that funding between this program and the Spaza Show program amounts were not the same. Informal traders received 3,000 rands while Spaza Show owners get 3,500 rands plus top-up of 7,000 rands. The committee also visited the recipients of the Spaza Show grant facility. According to information provided to Parliament, Spaza business owners were approved for 3.5 at the height of the COVID-19 outbreak in 2020. SIFA, on the other hand, later made the strategic decision to expand this fund to 10.5. As early as March 2022, all Spaza Shop grant facility participants had their remaining 7,000 rand put into their NetBank Mobi Money wallet. The 7,000 rand is distributed by all of the beneficiaries with whom the committee met. They were then instructed to check their Mobi Money wallet balances. Members thought it was strange that no one cared to investigate whether money allegedly paid more than a year ago fully went to the right people. The committee noted that most of the challenges faced by Spaza Shop owners across the country are almost identical. The owners raised concerns of large retailers encroaching on their space, foreign-owned businesses, high transportation costs, criminality, ongoing energy crisis, and lack of customers and financial wherewithal to do bulk buying. Some were aggrieved that the Somalian store owners, who are not even registered, have the means to purchase in bulk and hang on to people's SASSA cards, an irregular behavior that an ordinary South African shop owner cannot even begin to comprehend or implement. Most of the recipients the committee interacted with welcome the program. This is the Spaza Shop program. However, they noted that the 3,500 allocation was far too small, given that the program only identified stores and wholesalers in Zeras, Rustenburg, and Klerksdorp. As a result, store owners in Mafikeng, Lichtenberg, and elsewhere had to pay more for transportation costs. The committee had also intended to meet with Khula credit guarantee recipients. The scheme offers lenders, commercial banks, and other financial institutions a selection of credit guarantee packages for SME borrowers whose access to credit is restricted by the lender's requirement for collateral. The committee is concerned that Ms. Cindy Somaume, Mr. Johannes Ramonyane, and Mr. Amukalang Dilwane were all unavailable. The committee noted a disjointed working partnership, CEDA and SIFA, especially in the area of handling financial applications, post-investment support, and monitoring. There are obviously few projects, as I have indicated in the past, where SIFA and CEDA have worked excellently together. The difficulty in establishing a seamless and constructive rapport between the two organizations demonstrates unequivocally the agency and necessity of combining the two institutions. In the past, the portfolio committee has repeatedly stressed the importance for DSBD, SIFA, and CEDA to execute their respective mandates as a unit or collective. It was therefore unacceptable for the committee to learn that there is still no two-way referral coordination between CIFA and CDAN or between DSBD and its entities. The committee further learned that while this cyber shock support program was directed from the main office, that is in Centurion, the provincial offices of CIFA or CDA had little or no participation into its implementation. As a result, they were unaware of the location of the project. Several of the questions were not fully answered by the officials present during the oversight. The committee was delighted to travel to the Northwest province. It has frequently condemned uneven distribution of resources away from Northwestern Northern Cape. In value terms, the two regions receive minimal attention from the department CIFA and CEDA. For instance, the majority of CIFA payments are made in Gauteng, followed by KwaZulu-Natal and the Western Cape. As witnessed over many interactions the committee has had with the department, the phasing out of grants or incentives in favor of concessional loans, lended finance, income contingency repayments, installment relief, and payment holidays, to mention the few, may be good for going concern. These are funds that can furnish management accounts, financial statements, collateral, and so forth. It is apparent that the blanket execution of this policy position has implications for social enterprises such as cooperatives. The number of cooperatives supported by the Department of CIFA in Northwest during the previous financial year is not known. Whereas the role of provincial CEDA in at least three initiatives that the committee visited was incredible. The agency is an active participant in several initiatives, having engaged service providers or incubators to build SMMEs and cooperatives. It assists with business plans, some of which, like Blossom Bakery and Distribution, was approved for funding by CIFA. And there is evidence that it provides post-investment support to its recipients. Then the last one, finally, other shop owners and informal traders have been identified as the most regulated and least protected, trading illegally due to a lack of recognition and license. The committee heard about the difficulties that enterprises face, including strong allegations that foreigners are also permit holders. While it takes South Africans more than a year to secure trading permission, in most situations, informal traders are not given with any identity proving their legal authority to sell their wares, exposing them to further harassment. For instance, one of the projects we visited in Northwest by own banks only, there was a container owned by an illegal Bangladeshi, which is adjacent to where the MC Penyo Sandra Moarana container is being installed. During a spot check, which the committee did, it easily established that his permit actually expired in 2020. This is a Bangladeshi, you know, he's running a touch up there, he sleeps there, they do everything there. What we also noted is horizontal and vertical coordination of local, provincial and national spheres of government still poses a major challenge in the delivery of small business services. Municipal bylaws are disregarded. Then, Chair, on the basis of these observations, these are the recommendations we are making as we approach a conclusion. One, as mentioned in the observations, the committee was unable to meet with all of the intended recipients during the oversight visit in order to assess the status of the project sponsored by CIFA and the intermediaries. In certain cases, information provided to the committee was incorrect. The firm name EU Forward Finance Auxiliary Pty Ltd, for example, does not exist. The committee secretariat had to accept that Forward Finance Pty Ltd was the correct corporate name. This is because the intermediary's profiles were not supplied to the committee as asked prior to and during the oversight visit. Also, the committee was unable to communicate with the few people it had identified. There is no information provided as why these people were not available or traceable. The extension of portfolio credit guarantees to people people rather than cooperation necessitates further transparency. Honorable members, these are credit guarantees that are provided to individuals like Ms. Cindy Somawume. The committee needs to be briefed. How is this possible? You know, it will help the committee members to understand as well how CIFA operates. Pursuant to the committee chairperson, communicate to the department and CIFA. Supplementary information around this project must reach the committee secretariat no later than 16 May. Chairperson, 16 May is next Tuesday. I will make a recommendation towards the end of my presentation, because this is just the first consideration of the oversight visit. There is also another scheduled meeting to take place next week on 17 May 2023. Maybe it's then to adopt the oversight report. 10.2, during its oversight, the committee discovered that several of the programs, including the wholesale lending facility, portfolio credit guarantees, and joint venture, require more scrutiny and understanding. The 54 million rand investment in Yami Berries, for example, necessitates further unpacking. This company, from what the committee understands, may be a subsidiary of an Australian firm. The committee invitation was not honored by either the funder, which is Forward Finance Pty Ltd, or the recipient, which is Yami Berries Pty Ltd. As a result, it lacks specific information regarding this project. As above, this information must be relayed to the committee without delay. 10.3, so is Intellimed Financial Services Pty Ltd, which appear to have sponsored Kings and Queens, a company that only exists on paper. These are all questionable projects that the department and CIFA should explain to the committee. With the exception of Zimali Africa Ltd, all other intermediaries declined the committee invitation without apology. The committee finds it extraordinary that companies benefiting from the public purse are at the same time refusing to account to Parliament. The governance of state-owned entities is vested in Parliament. It is also vested in the executive and the boards of SOEs. Portfolio committees have control of SOE service delivery performance due to their engagement in the legislative budget and in-year monitoring procedures. As a shareholder, the executive authority, which is now the minister, the executive authority's corporate governance responsibilities entails ensuring that all necessary and appropriate corporate governance structures, procedures, practices, controls, and safeguards are established, properly implemented, and operate effectively in the SOE in question, from the board of directors downwards, as well as in respect of the board's accountability to the shareholder. CIFA has to account. It has no choice. The requested report should also include information on these two companies, which is Intellimed and Kings and Queen's Heart. 10.4, the committee, based on the information collected from the recipients, is of the view and recommend that CIFA should intensify oversight over intermediaries. CIFA should also consider capping the rate of interest to at least 20% and below. Also, projects or companies funded by intermediaries should be considered for a grant portion identical to companies funded by CIFA under direct lending. In other words, Chair, what we're seeing here, that grant element where small enterprises benefit if they apply direct through CIFA should also be extended to companies that are funded by intermediaries. In addition to the detailed report required from the department and CIFA, the portfolio committee believes that an immediate and exhaustive engagement with the department, CIFA accounting authority and accounting officer is necessary to address these and other issues that concern the portfolio committee. In preparation for this meeting, the portfolio committee will also request from CIFA all necessary documentation such as intermediary profiles, intermediary client profiles. These would be companies that are funded by intermediaries. Adjudication process of approving MFIs and RFIs. Adjudication meeting minutes, investment committee meetings, and so on. The specifics of the meeting will be conveyed by the secretary in due course, but it should not be later than 30 June 2023. In preparation for this engagement, the committee should also be furnished with a process or procedure followed to approve funding application for Mahikeng Meat Market Pty Ltd. The due diligence conducted and explanation of why the project was approved without assent. Equally, the procedure pursued to approve as a Mali Africa Pty Ltd must also be shared with the committee. On the Spaza Shop Support Program, the department and CIFA must provide the committee with a full report that includes information about what happened when this project was carried out, as well as why the beneficiaries were not notified when the additional payment of 7,000 rand was made. The majority of the beneficiaries have misplaced their mobile money wallet cards, and Nedbank is unable to issue replacement. CIFA must explain to the committee how it intends to reclaim funds deposited to some of the cards. Since then, the committee has also determined that CIFA supplied incorrect information to Parliament. The materials or the information provided to Parliament misleadingly claimed that all Spaza Shop beneficiaries received 10.5. Neither is it correct that transfers were made on or before the 31st of March 2022. The committee is yet to establish whether this was a deliberate deception of Parliament. CIFA Board of Directors and the department must look further into it. Chair, as I indicated earlier on, we are in touch with the beneficiaries of this project. Some have actually confirmed that they have not received this money. Some have confirmed that they have lost the cards. So we don't know really what's going on here. That said, the above recommendation does not preclude the portfolio committee from embarking on its own investigative procedure. The onus is on the portfolio committee, pursuant to its constitutional responsibility, to carry out its own inquiry in order to take an appropriate remedial action. The portfolio committee notes that to meet its fiduciary duty of prudence, its recommendations ought to be well informed, reasonable, and attainable. Owing to informational inadequacy at its disposal, determining feasibility for some of the projects visited, or detecting whether maladministration, fraud, or corruption had occurred were inclusive. Hence, we are requesting this additional information to understand exactly what is going on with this project. On 10.8, the department and CIFA should consider revising the initiative. The majority of the beneficiaries are pleased with the program. However, transportation costs for businesses in Mafikeng, Lichtenburg, and elsewhere became too expensive. Retailers and wholesalers in these locations must be identified, or informal traders and other proprietors must be compensated for transportation costs. This is one of the issues, Chairperson and honorable members, that were raised sharply by the beneficiary of this project. 10.9, the department and entities must broaden their understanding of the projects they support and identify gaps that requires intervention in the form of additional funding, infrastructure, technical assistance, skill development and training, as well as those that require support from state organs, like the municipalities, like the district municipalities, because constitutionally each sphere of the state has its own constitutional responsibility. CIFA is expected to have known that HACCP compliance is a technical prerequisite before it approves Mahikeng Meat Market Pty Ltd's application for credit. And CIDA does supply these services. As things stand, if Mafikeng Meat Market defaults, CIFA has no recourse against the company because it participated in reckless lending. The committee will monitor the department and quarterly reports to ensure that this recommendation is implemented. The committee is deeply concerned about business registration and licensing. Everywhere the committee visits, it encounters the same problem. The department must expedite the processing of referring the business amendment bill to Parliament before the end of the first quarter, Chairperson, in line with the undertaking and the project plan that was submitted to the members of this portfolio committee. Otherwise, the committee will move on with the resolution to begin work on a committee bill to amend the Business Act. The committee noted in the legacy report of the Fifth Parliament that the department and CIFA lacks appreciation for the role of stock firms, village banks, and cooperative banking institutions in bridging funding gaps for informal traders, cooperative enterprises, and entities operating in remote areas. CIFA's wholesale lending facility only funds financial intermediaries registered by the National Credit Regulator. However, the agency has not investigated or attempted to bring into the fold the cooperative banking institutions registered, licensed, and regulated by the CBDA, by the CIPC, by the Prudential Authority, and Financial Sector Conduct Authority. These are agencies of the South African Reserve Bank. By the way, I forgot to include here, and also the Financial Intelligence Center, FIC. These agencies' collective monitoring implies a significantly better governance and risk-based approach to managing public funds. As the CBDA's incorporation approaches, the department must, in its next quarterly report, advise the committee on how it intends to strengthen the agency's mandate and strategy for utilizing the cooperative banks to increase access to finance for SMEs and cooperatives. Then the last one, honorable members, the portfolio committee is in the same position it was before embarking on this oversight. There are a lot of gaps, honorable members. Withholding information to help the portfolio committee in carrying out its oversight responsibility constitutes contempt of Parliament. Under the Act, obstructing Parliament from carrying out its activities and exercising its authority is a crime punishable by a fine or imprisonment for up to 3 years. The department must ensure that CIFA hands over all the materials identified in this oversight report no later than 16 May 2023. The information being requested is assumed to be readily available, so it shouldn't be a problem really to have this information as early as 16 May 2023. Chair, I indicated earlier on that I have a request for the members to maybe just consider this report as a first draft while we are still waiting supplementary or additional information from the department and CIFA. Then we can make definitive conclusions when we consider it for the second time next week, Wednesday, on the 17th of May. Let me pause there for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you,
Boo.
Honorable members, here we are. We've got the two reports. The last one is for noting while waiting for the department to bring its report because of those issues which are still pending. One can say that the department indeed through the minister has requested the committee to give the department time to deal with certain issues, since some of the things were being observed by the portfolio committee as well as the department itself. So we have given them chance. I'm happy that Smu, you are also evenly in terms of the law and rules of the house. We are also coming up with some time frame where to receive those when to receive those reports. So I would request that we deal with the first one, that one of budget, for consideration. But also that one, I can't say we conclude here because members are busy with the budget vote. We may note it and request the members to go and make some inputs, because the first report is the one which is also critical for us as the portfolio committee to can really reflect the way we want the department to conduct itself to close those gaps, including issues of lack of resources, issues, a lot of issues which have been put before us by our officials, so that the department should consider it when we move forward. They know exactly what is it that we want. So, but I will allow honourable members to comment, but just to applaud our officials. You are really assisting us a lot as members. We rely on you and also our researchers. Honourable members, you will indicate by raising off your hand if you want to make any input, but based on what I have said, because if I say let's adopt the first report as it is, we may go back and find out that there are certain issues which we feel we're supposed to make some input. That's why I'm taking this approach as the chair. Thank you, honorable members.
Chairperson, I do see the hands of honorable members, but there is also a hand of Nwabisa, of which maybe I should think we can firstly give her the opportunity, maybe there's some additional information so that members can respond on
what
has been.
Nwabisa, can we hear from you, our researcher?
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Black King and Swu, for a very comprehensive report. Swu, Chairperson, asked me about Mahikeng meat market, whether there was a grant in that 4.53 million loan amount that they were given by CIFA. I can confirm from the list, the beneficiary list that we received from the department and CIFA, that it was 8 tranches of loan amounts. So it is a loan. All of it is a loan. And so the other issue was that the enterprise, Mahikeng Meat Market, is operating despite the fact that there are questions hanging over their health standards. They are still servicing locals despite those questions, and the question becomes, If they are servicing the locals, how ethical is that, given that they are not meeting the health standards? Secondly, Chairperson, is the issue of Ezemali Africa. Ezemali Africa, who noted that Ezemali Africa lent money to Ezemali Africa's clients include the donkey dairy, my apologies, as well as DHA Mahikeng. So I wanted to add just a bit of information on that the DHA client is seemingly associated with the Department of Home Affairs in Mahikeng, as the email address of the client is written as steven.tylett@dha.gov.za, which means that the money went to someone who works for government, and there is no company by the name DHA, but it seems like it's linked to the Department of Home Affairs there. I think those are the two issues that I wanted. Oh, the other one is the Mpuneko. The Mpuneko enterprise. Mpuneko was, according to the beneficiary list, given about 2.1 million, but on interactions with the owner of Mpuneko and of the Mpuneko enterprise, he also mentioned that he received 1.5 million. And so the question becomes, what happened to the rest of the funds? That is all from me, Chairperson. That's what I wanted to add. Thank you very much. Oh, lastly, the question that members also asked regarding the Spaza facility was that if the in Northwest, the 3,500 were given and were supposed, there was supposed to be an additional amount of 7,000 just in the Northwest. We only visited, I think, about three municipalities in the Northwest. What is the situation across the country? Did people in other municipalities and other provinces receive those 7,000? What is the situation? Because it looks like the Northwest issue is just a microcosm of what is happening around the country. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Jacobs is requesting to be the first because he is leaving. So can you give me other names? He is going to be the first. Can you give me the other names of the honorable members, Honorable Brakin?
Chair?
Yes.
So we have seen the request of Mr. Jacobs. So
yeah.
It's Mr. Jacobs, Mr. Honorable Kruger, Honorable Matulelwa, Honorable Mtenjane, and Honorable Impre.
Okay. Honorable Jacobs?
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to everybody on the platform. I think let's start by thanking the team of the Portfolio Committee officials led by Comrade Sibusiso for both comprehensive reports on the budget report as well as the Northwest report. There's a lot of information here, Chair, so I think you're right in your process and guiding us to I think, just consider both of these reports. I think for me, this report does reflect really accurately our observations. So I think it's important that we do consider these two reports. But let's start with the first one, the report on the budget vote. I think there's a lot of good recommendations, key information that is here. I think it will be doing well. I think given that our budget vote is next week, this lays a good basis for us to engage and also to support the recommendations. So I certainly would be one to support all the recommendations coming out of this budget vote. I think we all note that small business is big business and it's everybody's business. And I think as this portfolio committee, we've been really working well. And we, even though there are times where we do have our differences and we have our political vantages points, I think we work really well to come together. I also want to say that the Northwest trip was a particular good experience because for the first time post-COVID, we got to see each other not only on the Zoom but also on the together for a few days, which was really good and memorable. And I think the findings and our observations does broadly reflect what we picked up on the ground. And I think whilst we must commend the great work of our officials, I think there's some great examples. I was very impressed by the cooperatives, the Orange cooperatives, and there's many good examples where we can see that our policy formulations and the budgets and the plans that the department and the agencies are pushing through is bearing fruits. We can literally see the labor, the impact, the success stories. We can literally touch that person who has benefited from our policy intentions of trying to create a more entrepreneurial society and our culture. But I think what we also picked up is some challenges. You know, life happens while we make plans. And I think what we need now is let's acknowledge all these observations. Yes, we could have observations are lacking understanding or lack more information, and I think that is forthcoming. I think let's give the department and the ministry some time.
I'm not sure if it will do justice if we give them just till next week, Wednesday. I might want to offer them at least another week or two, given that there's a lot of information and given that we want them to respond in a very detailed way on how they're going to respond to the findings and observations. I think our role very clearly as oversight is to ensure that what we see on the ground is what we reflect, and we want answers and we want accountability to the money, the people's money. And where there is impropriety and where there's wrongdoing, there must be consequences. And I think that's part of the accountability and an oversight role that we all collectively have to play. I think when someone or some people are involved in dubious activities, it's easy to do the blame game and say it's that party or this party, or try to put us in the different lagers. I'm hoping that this portfolio committee can have that maturity to say, let's confront the real issues. Let's tackle the real issues. Let's acknowledge where there is progress and improvements, and then also acknowledge where we need certain interventions. So clearly, for me, I think the big issues coming out of this Northwest trip was that we need to do more with access to finance for our people. And so the intermediary, remember we had the Usury Act, and so we fought, and then we had the National Credit Regulatory Act, which was giving more power not only to the banks, but also intermediaries, small microfinance intermediaries, to also give access to loans. It's clear that we need to still go a long way to change the big banks and making them see the need for affordable finance. But I think our step of microfinance is something that needs to be regulated. It is regulated. But I'm cautioning the portfolio committee not to throw the baby out to the bathwater, because if done properly, those microfinances, like the Grameen Bank and all of the other cooperative models, have an opportunity to give accessible finance to all of our people. The I think that CEF, that structure has benefited more than 16,000 small rural aunties in the North provinces. And so that is a good example. And I think we might want to regulate the maximum amount of interest that they can charge. But I think we must be careful not to only put a lot of our attention on them. In fact, if I was wanting to focus on, we need to focus on the big banks, I would argue that not more than 25%, not 20%, must be the upper limit. Because you see, there's big risks. No one wants to bank or make the poor bankable. Not the big banks don't want to touch poor people. So we need to also manage the risk around getting affordable access to finance for our small businesses. See, I think there's a lot of issues here. There's a lot of good work. There's a lot of, like, those red flags where we want more answers and clarity. I think we as a portfolio, we must be unanimous about getting to the bottom of this. And if there is consequences, we need to ensure that whoever the officials are involved, we get the responses and also proper accountability. But for now, Chair, I want to support both these considerations. In fact, I want to support the budget vote report. Maybe second that, because we have to adopt our budget next week. So maybe that is something that we should consider. And then also note the report of the Northwest, consider it and also get further input. So we acknowledge the draft one that we have, and then we encourage written submissions, but also direct feedback and accountability from the executives. Chair, with that, I would like to thank the team that made a very comprehensive, very detailed report possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. Indeed, we need to adopt the report because we're debating next week. The one which we are noting, because we still need some, so we need the report from the department and also some work which are supposed to be submitted by the department based on our observation. Then what I can say under Nqabisi forward your issues, all your issues you have raised to SMU, and then they will see to it how to include it for request from the department. And then on the one of the 3,500, I agree with you, but I still remember that I indicated this to SMU, that can we, and yourself, Mavisa, can we engage, request the department, even the CIFA, in all those areas to submit the beneficiaries for us, so that we may be able also to check with them. It's a good question. You are the ones who must assist them to make sure that whether they did receive such money or not, and also to come up with some recommendation on how best should they assist our people on the ground. So I wanted to respond on that one of Mwabisa before I forget. Thanks, Honorable Jacobs, for supporting the budget vote. Can we hear from Honorable Kruger?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, I also don't see a problem with our first report or the second report. Of course, I wasn't with the oversight in the second report, so I believe what he's saying. I know Spoo very well. He's a very thorough member when it comes to this report, and I want to thank you also, the staff, of putting this report together. But Madam Chair, allow me just to go to the first report, to 6.1, because I think we must just correct that sentence, because 6.1 talks about foreign nationals, and I don't think the issue is foreign nationals. The issue is illegal foreign nationals. So we must just change the wording. And the same with 7.5. We also, in the recommendation, talk about foreign nationals, and I think we must just change it. I propose that we change it to illegal foreign nationals, because that is the problem. Foreign nationals is not a problem. It's an illegal foreign national. And then my last point on that report is 7.10, about the oversight committee of the president's retape unit. Chair, there's two proposals in 7.10, and I think I propose that we leave the part out after the all, and just state that there must be an oversight committee over the red tape unit. I don't know if Spoo understand me there, but I can talk to him afterwards. And then, Madam Chair, allow me just to give some general comments about oversight. Because, again, we went to oversight, and if I read the report, the committee members that was there was quite surprised on what go out actually, you know, the reports we get in Parliament and what actually happened outside there. But first of all, I want to make a proposal, and maybe we must adapt this proposal, that when we go to oversight, or when Parliament goes to oversight, I mean, we stay in the best hotels, what have you. I think we must use small businesses and stay in guest houses. So, Madam Chair, and you are the champion of small businesses, so if you can drive it, and the minister can drive it in cabinet, and make a rule that when we are on oversight, committee members and staff members must stay in guest houses and not this luxury hotels. That's my first point. And I think that is a no-brainer. We have to support small businesses, and especially local small business, where there's guest houses all over the place, and I think we must drive this point. Chair, the other point is, I mean, this is not the first time this committee of small business committee goes on oversight. My problem is we pick up a lot of problems in the field there with our small business, but we never go back to them. We tell the officials and we write reports and say, listen, you must fix this and this and this, and we are surprised about this and this, but we never go back and see, did the officials fix that problem? Or is that small businesses that we saw that in a crisis are still in a crisis 4 or 5 years later? So we need to have some sort of a mechanism that we can go back to them and say, listen, did their situation actually change for the benefit of the small business, or was it just one of those things? And I think I'm correct when I say that, when officials just say noted and nothing is done afterward. And then, Madam Chair, also a general note, if we can, because we all got constituencies, right? And if we can, us as members of this committee, identify 3 projects in our constituencies and then take an official of small business, an official of CEDA, and an official of CIFA to these 3 projects so that we can show them what's happening and help them. I mean, if we as 10 members of this committee sort out 3 projects, that's already 3 projects that's 100% sorted out. So I really want to make a request to you that we get some 3 projects that every constituency or, you know, every MP on this committee identify, and then we take some officials there and sort the small businesses' problems out. Then my last general point, Madam Chair, PESI. I think I announced it correct. It's something of the president. I think it's president emergency something. You know, we went while you were on oversight in Northwest. We went to Mpumalanga on the agriculture oversight and look at rural development, especially. You know, these farmers that receive seven rand. Let me say it again. 7 rand from PESI so that they can fix their small this small farm with 7 rand from government. So, Madam Chair, I think we need, as guardians of small business, small farms and what have you, we need to have oversight on this PESI and see what really happened to that money, because it's also taxpayers' money, and that is just a suggestion that we get some information of this PESI and see what really happened out there, because it's ridiculous to give a farmer, a small scale farmer, 7 rand. And thank you, ma'am. I will stand there. And again, thank you for the SPUR and the staff members of putting this report together.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. Your experience assists this committee. I think you made a valid point in your contribution, more especially on the feedback. I think it's something which we'll have to digest. How do we do that feedback in the first place? But fortunately, honorable members, we are having these virtual meetings. We may use virtual meetings to coordinate all those beneficiaries. Those who were successful and those who are having unhappiness to can make some follow-up. I think it's a good point. I would like that it be jotted down under recommendations. It is assisting us because we can't go there physically rather than going to other places. But how do we make sure that what we have observed is any improvement from those issues which were raised by those special on those beneficiaries who were saying that we are lacking, for example, those farmers we visited, they were saying that they are requesting implementers. If they can get implementers and irrigation, production can be improved. So if indeed we don't go back and check whether they've been assisted or not, it is zero to me. So thanks for that valid point. And then another one, the one of BMG, these, I agree with you. Tina, as a portfolio committee, we're not in the luxury hotel for information. We slept in the guest house. So I believe we will be a good example, Larry, to other departments. But I'm taking your point. You are not even referring to us only. You are saying as the mother of small business, as the portfolio committee, let's champion it in parliament to can say, if we are serious, why are we not empowering those small businesses in those areas? Unless we are in an urban area where completely there is no such. I fully agree with you, Honorable Kroger. And then also, we will note down the issue of oversight on that issue of, we are saying whether it's easy or what. I believe our officials are jotting it down. But you were not there, but your contributions are valuable. Thank you so much, Honorable Kroger. Can we hear Honorable Matulelo? And also, thank you for supporting the budget that a vote that it be adopted by this committee, because we're debating next week. Honorable Matulelo.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members. Mine is not that much, but I would like to firstly thank the officials led by Mr. Gumede. Clearly they worked it out, everything is clear and detailed in a very, I can say it's a very, very detailed manner. So my contribution and my proposal, Chair, is can we just, in our recommendations and observations about the oversight, why Susnua Bisa was even reminding us about what we said, because of us being concerned after the oversight of Northwest Wuti, what is happening in all over the country, in all 9 provinces, if Northwest is operating like that, this simple thing. More especially that spaza shops who were having 3,500 instead of 10,500. So my recommendations, or I may put it as a proposal, SIPA must not get any budget. Let's at least maybe the budget must go to CEDA, or else the must process the CEDA must process the applications of small businesses. Those who are maybe the client of SIPA, they must get it from CEDA, or there must be a direct management of the money up until we got, because remember, I proposed in this committee that we need some of the people to account on what is happening, and also as this portfolio committee, we need to obtain an official case against this CIPA, because really we need it to be investigated. Maybe Hawks can go and investigate and all of these things. It can be that we again, after this oversight, we give FIFA the budget or money of government to again, on top of questionable acts that they did. So I just wanted to say, please, just let us just do justice for our small businesses, and there must be people arrested in these things, because really it's not on in the side of the oversight. Let us not give the any money up until further notice. Let us not give them. Let us just disqualify this FIFA thing. It's really corrupt. To be we beggar means into they are corrupt this FIFA. And then with the budget that is coming, yes, I can see the everything, the report, but this thing of budget cut is not for small business. It must not, everything that the government plans, they must not do things as a standard. They must firstly check. You can't do a uniform thing to say you are cutting budget from all other departments, including small business. It's not correct. It's not correct. For small businesses, there's no need to cut budget, because small businesses are the ones that they need more money. You can't compare small business and education or any other department that only require budget to buy maybe assets or some papers or whatever they want. But the small business is a serious department that needs more budget than any other departments that are being affected by this thing of budget cuts. I just wanted to say that let us also do away with this cutting of the budget. It's very, 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 very painful to be a small business in this country. Even if we have only the number that we visited, just imagine how many small businesses that were not even having anything from any intermediary as a loan or what. Because I don't even believe that we must put the people that were supported by the small business only to find out that they paid back the money as a loan, and it's more than 29% in interest, and they appear here as people that were given money from government. It's a, I don't know, we are being misled by CIPA as well. I think here we must have people that are directly helped by the CIPA and also by the CEDA. Now, this thing of having huge amounts that cannot be accounted for by the CIPA itself is a misleading part of it. So thank you, Chair, without wasting time, and just wanted to say that CIPA must no longer receive any money from the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Matulele. Thank you, my daughter. I warned you last week that don't bite the bone, must bite the flesh. I still repeat that. You are a mother. If you close the tap, it's like when in hospital one doctor has done wrong with a patient, and then you come and say, I'm now closing this hospital because one doctor did not follow the correct procedure. Hence, I'm closing oxygens and everything. All your children will die. So I agree with you. There are wrongs which we have observed, but you can't punish the entire children. You can't punish your small businesses, all of them. Let's play the ball, not the men. Let's deal with those who are corrupt. If ever there is evidence, let's really refer issues to Hawks, and they must they must be held accountable without any fear or favor. But as a mother, you can't destroy or kill your children because of anger. So I'm appealing with you as much as I support you, and more especially on the issue of budget. You are totally right. It's something which we must emphasize strongly, that thousands and thousands of people are applying. I think to support your statement, let's check the issue of the intermediary. Let's support what Honorable Kruger is saying, that let's have a way of doing oversight since Omen Tengosi was requested to come before us as the portfolio committee to present himself and saying that he's preparing himself. I think we've got that obligation to can make some follow-up. But it's something which Honorable Kruger is saying we'll still discuss with Bosbo outside this meeting. But I'm in support of that. But on that one, baby, don't bite the bone, bite the meat. Honorable Ntenjwana,
Mamche, can I just... I'm very sorry. I just on a point of order, and I didn't want to interfere with the speakers. You say after my input, thank you for supporting the budget vote. I didn't support the budget vote. I supported the officials with our report. So I just want to
Honorable Kruger, it might be slippery of tongue.
Just for the budget
report, not the budget vote.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. It's just for the minutes, everybody is clear. Thank you, Mati.
Yes. Thank you. Honorable Ntenzana, my son.
Hey, if I see the number, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair, the colleagues, and everybody. And also, I will also concur with the previous speakers about the report on its own. Sbu and your team, thank you very much. You did your proper research as always. We are very much proud of you. And then we come direct now to the report itself. Chairperson, of course, also you will understand and agree with me that for the budget votes, for us maybe to agree or not to disagree and all those things, we first need to check as to when we agree, are we agreeing on principle or are we just doing a window dressing? We're agreeing just because we agree. The reason why I'm saying this, Chair, the department, it does not deliver what it was created for since 2014, if I'll say it correctly. Because we talk about a department which is having a vision and a mission and a values and all those things. But where is the innovation in that? Where is the integrity? Where is the professionalism? Where is the customer center? Where is the commitment and the caring organization? If you have a department which cannot monitor its own entities. Now, this thing comes together, Jefferson. I know that there's a first report and a second report of the oversight and all those things, but sitting down here, when you check on these things, they all come together in the same department. Now, how do you then pass a vote or agree with a vote or budget votes for a department that does not cater for its people? It is becoming very difficult, Chairperson. That is why some of us then have been advocating that, well, because we are not saying that the small businesses must not be supported, as we are saying that we must not bite, we must bite the meat, not the bone. Indeed, we are biting the meat, not the bone, because we are saying, let this department go back to trade and industry. So all the budgets will go there so that it go direct to the small businesses, our small businesses. Because through this department, it is of no value, Chairperson, to approve budget which at the end of the day does not help our small businesses. That is what we are saying. This budget to approve it year in, year out, just to help the comrades here who are working there. In other words, we go back now to this thing of capital deployment to say now we are just helping each other as comrades, that we must get money. Because it does not go to the people. For example, the committee has done a great job as well in the oversight in the Northwest, a very great job, Chairperson, to find out that all what we've been saying is actually true about the CIFA. We've been saying this, Chairperson, about the CIFA, that the less we speak about it, the better. But some of us who are being labeled as not fair and all those things. The CIFA, Chairperson, we said it already. It does not help our people. I think Hawks must come in on this thing. Because if you check here, as a committee, you will agree with me, Chairperson, even if I was not there on that oversight. But of course, it is here in the writing. We can see it in black and white here. That there are a lot of individuals, the so-called beneficiaries, who did not receive monies or monies according to the report or according to what CIFA was saying. We are told that people receive 3,000, 3.5 instead of 10,000, 10,500. Why such a bet? And when we interfere, at the same time, then there were a call that says, no. Or those people were called at the time when the committee was there to say, no, you must say you have received those things. But the people have spoken the truth and said, no, we did not receive anything. Then someone from CIFA, now we are told that he came and interfered and said, no, look, this money, it was not like that because we said this one going to come after and all those things. Is it the same thing in the whole country? Because remember, what happened in the Northwest probably is happening in the 9 provinces, which is the whole country. Now imagine all those 7,000 when you multiply them around the country, around the 9 provinces, how much is that money? Now you want us to come here and approve such a budget and say, yeah, this department must be given so much money because it's helping our people. It's not, Chairperson. Let's be honest, this department is not helping anything. It's got nowhere near helping our people. Nowhere. At least, we've been saying also, entities like CEDA, we know what they are doing. Even the people tell us here, we've been saying it, that they go to them, they give them their business plans and all those things, but when they go to CIFA, the opposite is true, is the truth. I mean, those people are not being funded. Even if they have the business plans from competent organizations such as CIDA, that then tells you that we are only helping one entity, which is CIDA, but the other one is not helping anywhere. It's not near nowhere to help our people, Chairperson. And it is the truth. Whether we deny it here or we don't deny it, it is the truth. At least in Northwest, it has happened in front of all of you. You saw it as a committee, practically, people coming to you saying, no, we don't know anything about these monies. But in the writing, saying, yeah, there is such a money. It has been happening, Chairperson. If you remember last year, there was such an issue as well from a certain beneficiary, I think from the Eastern Cape, which also we were told that she was given money. And then when she came on our oversight here through the virtual, she said, no, I didn't receive anything. And until today, nothing happened, Chairperson. Nothing happened at all. So I concur with the other speaker who said that maybe there should be consequences in a form of hawks, I believe, because those are at least the law agencies that we have here in our country, but also that we can't trust anyway. Remember, this country has turned itself into a country where its people doesn't trust it at all, especially when it comes to issues of money, Chairperson. We will agree that money has been eaten in this government. every time there's an issue of money, every time money is lost here and there, money does not arrive where it's supposed to go. But we are being said that we must come in and approve such budget where we are, people are not going to get those monies. We can't, Chairperson. It's not easy. You can't allow, in other ways, it's like allowing this thing to get on. We are saying, yes, the government must support our businesses, but through a better department like trade and industry, because so far we understand that that is the only department, at least, that is much far better than this Department of Small Business. So that is the reality, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, the recommendation, one of the recommendations when we get all the reports as it is, because we are told that there was an agreement that the department will go back and find out if those people have received the money, which were promised. Some were promised that they're going to be given on the 26th of March and all those things. After we got all that clarity, I will at least request or suggest that, Chairperson, as a committee, we must start to bite. We must start to be a committee that is biting. We must not be like anything else that is not working in this country. We must be a biting committee whereby we recommend that, okay, all those officials who have stolen the money, because we must put it clear, Chairperson, they have stolen the money, they have taken the money for their own benefit. So the hawks must come in there. We must just identify those officials who were involved in issuing those funds and all those things, and then they must be arrested. They must be arrested for real, Chairperson, so that at least we make an example that indeed when you steal money here, you will be arrested. And these companies also, Chairperson, which were said to have been given money, but when you call them, no one wants to come and account. That tells you then that there's a shenanigan going on between that company and the officials. Because why would you be afraid to come and account or come and show yourself off if they call you to say, yeah, I did receive money, company so. But then you put some lousy excuses until you end up not coming to account to the portfolio committee. That then tells you that there is a shenanigan between these people calling themselves companies and our officials, the officials from the CIFA itself. And also lastly, Chairperson, here, we are being told that CIFA at least choose to give money to a company which is related to another country, which is Australia. Can you imagine that, Chairperson? We have our own people suffering here in this country. But instead of helping our people here, we see it deem fit that at least we rather help companies from Australia, which we don't even know. Some of us, we don't even know where is Australia. We have people here who are suffering. But you take money, you give it to Australian people instead of South African people, poor people, by the way. No, Chairperson, this is too much. That's all I can say for now, Chairperson, to save the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Satwakala Lavanga Joe, Mananga, Vafanele Vapanichu, Akunamundwaka Teleriwa, Kunanzala Lam Savindiwa. So, there is no one who is going to defend wrongdoings. I fully agree with you, but let's allow the department to do its work and then we monitor them. At the same time, we've got the right through our researchers to can check demand from those reports, as I've indicated. I think Mavisa made a point, and I'm the one who started that we are not going to be able to visit all the provinces. Can we please check beneficiaries from all those provinces, more especially on the one of the spaza shop? But on those other ones, I will request that we have virtual meetings, do oversight virtual meetings in all those provinces before we close, because there is a need for us to develop a legacy report which will be taken forward by the seventh parliament. So I'm happy to have people who really is hard at work, who are sympathizing with our people on the ground. That's why my humble appeal is to say, let's play the ball, not the man, and let us not punish the child, let's punish the culprit.
of which I'm in agreement of whatever honorable members are saying, so that at the end of the day, they will say, wow, this committee has done 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're not going to leave any stone unturned, honorable members. Let's give the department to come up with their report. As far as I know, as the chairperson, I know that there are already issues which are happening in the department. Some of officials, as we're speaking, have been they've received a pre-question a suspension so that investigation can go smoothly. So you are on the right track. You know, if you are not on the right track, I would advise that no. Even if we are angry, we cannot take this route. But to defend our people on the ground, I think is very important. That's what we have been voted for. So thanks for this input, Honorable Tenjana. Can we now allow Honorable Ibrahim on the stage? Honorable Ibrahim?
Chairperson, Honorable April, he indicated that he's got a load shedding, I think he's got a problem with the network. He wrote in the chat box, I think will be responded to on it. The last hand that was thrown was Honorable de Villiers. I don't know whether he's still standing or he has been covered.
Honorable de Villiers, are you covered?
Yes, Chairperson. Good day to everybody. I'm covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Thanks, Honorable Members, for your input. I believe our officials have jotted everything down properly. And in due course, we'll get the report from the department. But you are allowed to can give input to SBU. Go and look at it. We need more suggestions to strengthen this committee than ever. So you are allowed to can input certain suggestions. Even if you were not part of us, but the recommendations, the observation and recommendations can give you clue to come up with certain recommendations. So we'll appreciate that. Can we now move to the next...
We have to adopt the budget.
Yes. All right. Honorable Jacobs moved for the adoption while he was here because he said he supports. Can I have a second, Honorable Member? Because we the report is our report. We are demanding something from the department. We are telling the department what to do as the portfolio committee, which is in terms of the rules of the house. Then we'll then go and debate in the and we're at liberty to can debate whatever we think will strengthen this department at the same time.
Seconded, Chairperson, on the report, not on the budget vote.
Yes, yeah, we have got a report, my son. He was not talking about the budget vote. Thank you. Can we now move to the next item? Can you flag again? But when I remember very, very well, the item which was last is the one on the study tour. Can you give us an update, both of you, Sbu and Bracking?
Thank you, Chair. I'll just start and then hand over to Mr. Kumete. We are in progress in the preparation for this study tour, Chair. We had meetings with the two companies, and then right today at 2, we're also having a meeting with the officials from the embassy in Germany, so that will be the one who will also be assisting us in accessing some of the agents that needs to be attended to in Germany. So with all that, Chair, the Mr. Kumete will state on the content, but on the side of the logistics, we are still awaiting for the quotations, which is from the agent, and then hopefully we'll be having them by tomorrow, and then we put together the second application to the Office of Health.
indicated, the plan is to leave on Saturday, arrive in Berlin on Sunday. Then on Monday, that's where the real study tour begins, with the planned visit to the SMME Advisory Council. It's SME Advisory Council. It's the equivalent of what we are begging the department to, the process we are begging the department to put in motion, Chairperson. You can imagine an economy as big as Germany. They do have this council. I don't understand why we don't have such a statutory body, particularly that it's actually embedded in the National Small Business Amendment Act. In other words, Chair, which means we are not implementing the Act. So on Monday, the plan is to meet with the Advisory Council. Am I still audible now?
Yeah.
You have just come back. Okay, continue.
So, I'm using a different gadget now. Hey, it's low shedding. It's hectic.
Okay.
So
continue.
Yeah, so I was saying, Jefferson, on Tuesday we are meeting a DGRB. It's an apex body in Germany. Then also on Tuesday we are meeting EBVR. EBVR is a tertiary body for cooperative banks in Germany. Then also on Tuesday we are meeting the Federal Office for Energy Cooperatives. Chair, we are mindful that we don't want to put out the program because you said we must, you know, take it easy. I know it was hectic in Northwest, so we are really mindful, you know, to give you space in between. On Wednesday, we are meeting an energy cooperative, and then Berlin Public Utility Company also on Wednesday. Then on Tuesday, we are visiting another rural energy cooperatives around Berlin. It's going to be either in Hamburg or in Leipzig, type person. We will conclude as soon as we know. We are also meeting on Friday another cooperative bank. In fact, we plan maybe to meet at least four cooperative banks. Again, we are meeting on Friday the GLS bank. It's a very big bank. Apparently, we are told that when we go there, it's like we are entering Nedbank or Absa. So, We are on the track, Chairperson. I thought we should just give you that feedback for now. Otherwise, the program is still a work in progress. It's not complete yet. We should be able to finalize it maybe before the end of May, once we know exactly. Because we have another meeting this afternoon with the DEFO and the guys from the embassy. So we'll report back next week.
speak again. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Thanks, honorable members. It's just an update. I don't know whether there is anyone who wants to reflect something, because I requested that this should be a standing item in each and every meeting, so that we understand where we are. But if there are any stumbling blocks, our officials will have to contact myself so that I try to intervene on certain issues. Like the one of giving us permission to have official passport. I don't think that it needs weeks to grant that us that permission. So maybe sometimes we'll have to take it politically. Honorable members, are you fine?
Yes, we are fine, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, just to add one thing, we have just forgotten just that the poll will be in Berlin, Germany, just to indicate that.
Okay.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Yes, Honorable Kruger.
Madam Chair, yeah, I just want to find out, and maybe I missed the question, is the whole committee going or only a part of the committee? Because it seems like other committees, they only allow five members to go. So I don't know what is King and Spoo's opinion on this.
It's a try and error, let me say that. You are right, but during our chairperson's forum, we argued about that, Honorable Kruger, because it is very difficult to select when they say, let five members go. Whom do you pick and choose as the chairperson? So it's something which we have raised with the speaker. We will believe that they had us. Where would not achieve, we will come back to the members. That's why he's saying he has put everyone on the picture, and then when they advise, we'll take it in that order. But thanks for that, Ina. That question. It's a working document, so we are just getting progress. Any other issues which might arise, members will be informed and advised accordingly. Agreed? Are we still together, honorable members? I want to close the meeting officially.
Agreed,
Chair. Thank you. Can we call it a day? The meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.